Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are back. It is Wednesday. Glad to be here as we get ready for the Green Bay Packers. It's cold here in New England. I was about 15 degrees when I got in my car this morning. I have a little readout in my dashboard, so I know exactly what the temperature is. And it was 15, and it felt 15. So I guess the early weather forecast for Sunday is not quite that cold, but possibility of some snow. You know, it's not definite yet. Could change, but we'll see. We'll see if snow's a factor. I think either way, we're feeling good about this team, the Patriots. Whether or not Aaron Rodgers plays, I think we're feeling good about the Patriots. Paul's here. Andy will be here. Eric will be here with a practice update later. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. And I guess the top of the news here today is Jonathan Wilhite placed on IR. Any surprises, Paul?
No, not at all.
None?
No. He's been struggling with the hip problem for about a month now. We actually thought he might be the roster move last week. That coincided with Eric Moore when he was assigned to the active roster, like, you know, 2 weeks ago now. But, you know, obviously the suspension. Oh, was that the most recent acquisition? Was that Eric Moore?
No, they signed Leonard.
No, I'm talking about last week.
Oh.
Whatever, the last roster move they had to make,
right.
We thought might be this, Wilhite on IR. And then I think probably that was put off by the fact that Spikes had to be, Chevis Jackson, it was the most recent one.
Right.
That was the one. And then, today they signed a defensive lineman because they're a little thin up front. Mike Wright's missed the last several games with a concussion. They had Ron Brace leave the game last week with a head injury. I don't know if that's a concussion.
Pryor with the back.
And Myron Pryor's missed several games with the back, as you can tell Andy's here.
Right.
So, yeah, they had to do something. They signed another defensive lineman. Is it Lucas Leonard? Lucas, is that his first name?
I believe
name?
So, yes.
I know Leonard is his last name.
Not Brian.
Not Brian and not Leonard. Little.
Right.
Right? Lucas Leonard,
I
believe.
That'd be a good Wheel of Fortune before and after. Brian Leonard Little.
Right.
Which former Rutgers star did not drive drunk and kill somebody? Brian Leonard Little.
So anyway, not overly surprised by Jonathan Wilhite being the guy to go to IR.
Well, that's what you guys said.
Yes.
Freddie, you know I don't take myself too seriously. I took it.
You don't take anything too seriously.
I took it to a whole new level.
What's now? What?
Played a part in a Tom Curran stunt.
Tom Curran Productions.
Oh boy.
He walks up to me and goes, "Do me a favor. Will you tabletop me?" And I go, "What the hell does that mean?" apparently, that's when you go behind somebody and somebody pushes them and you flip over backwards.
Yeah.
So, not to steal the thunder or the tease of his show, but keep an eye out for him interviewing Gary Guyton and then going ass over tea kettle over me as somebody pushes him.
Yeah.
As Kevin Falk looked on in utter amazement.
I mean, it's bad enough if they want to sully their own show, but, you know, to make us part of it, because we have our own show to
worry about. Yeah, I didn't really want to do it, but I figured, what's the big deal?
So, well, we don't really know it's you. You're just like behind.
Yeah, I'm just the
prop.
Who pushes him?
Steve Buckley of the Boston Herald.
Okay.
Kind of walks by and pulls him.
And Curran apparently really hurt his back. He's like, he pushed me harder than I thought. And Kevin Falk was watching from and just, you're going to get hurt trying to be
stupid. You're not athletic enough.
Well, it was funny. I was in the locker a little bit earlier. And Paul, you and I, and I think you were in on it.
Yeah,
we were
Andy
talking about the whole Thighgate thing over in the Jets. And, you know, Paul's, you know, we were talking, you know, not really loud, but full.
Loud enough for him to hear, obviously.
And, you know,
he started laughing at us.
And we were all saying, you know, just standing there, we had no problem. It's sticking the leg out. And Kevin Falk yells over because, you know, all he had to do was keep his leg in.
He just started laughing.
He started just laughing.
And Andy looked over and he goes, "Are you laughing at us?" And he goes, "Yep."
He said all he had to do was not stick his leg out. And we all agree. I mean, I think it's pretty smart.
Sure.
It's one of those little things.
Yeah,
that
I don't have
any
problem
at all. If you got a guy in another team that is, you know, always using the sideline to get away from the vice squad, then
the vice squad.
I like that. But that's well put.
You know?
I said to Paul, you also could have done maybe to act it up a little more, like pretend somebody called your name just as he's coming and you turn around and you kind of, as you rotate your leg, it happens to stick out a little bit.
Right.
But the way he did it, he was like a little kid going, just sticking it out like
subtly. Somebody else
poor execution.
Somebody brought up on the radio, I think it might have been Felger, I don't know who it was, but they were talking about this yesterday on the radio, and it's absolutely true. I distinctly remember in one of the Three Claims to Glory videos when in the AFC Championship game here in Foxborough, Marvin Harrison gets, you know, pushed out of bounds or whatever, and Belichick makes a little slide step just to his left, just it so that Harrison has to take a couple extra seconds to get back on the field.
It was on an interception.
Yeah.
So Harrison was trying to get back in the play to make a tackle, and Belichick got in his way.
Just, you know, he slide steps just a little bit, just enough. That's smart. That's just, you know, that's just one of the little things. And, again, I have no problem with these guys lining up so that a guy can't use the sideline as a way to get around blockers. But, obviously, you can't take it to the next step. And
you can't trip a guy.
You can't do that.
Right. You certainly can't get caught.
So, you know, if Rex Ryan or Mike Westhoff ordered the phalanx, as Mike Florio calls it, I have no problem with that. You just can't stick your leg out, that's all.
That's where it becomes dirty and
dangerous.
And Westhoff did issue a statement saying he did not.
Well, I don't
That's called
that.
Lying.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Well, maybe he wasn't the guy who did
it. Maybe the assistant guy called for it, you know? It's all a matter of...
Or maybe he's lying.
Maybe.
That could be,
they
too.
Lie.
Yeah. That could be, too.
You know, we all do it at times.
You know, so...
I had a nice conversation with Kevin Falk about his rehab, and he seems like he's pretty happy with the way it's going.
Did you get into it with him because, you know, you tore
Well,
ACL
I asked
too?
Him how it was going, he said, and I asked him, I said, have you cried yet or cried like a little girl yet when they break up any scar tissue? He's like, no, they really haven't had to, and I've been lucky. It's every day he's getting better range of motion, flexion. And then we started to talk about it a little bit, and I told him... I remember what, because they have to break the scar tissue. They physically, you lay on your stomach, the guy puts your ankle like on his shoulder and just pushes forward as hard as he can to get your knee to bend all the way till your calf touches your hamstring again. And we were talking about that, and he said they have this new machine for full extension to get it straight again. And you basically, you put your leg straight out on this machine, and they strap the lower leg on one thing, the upper leg on another thing, and then they put pressure on the center and just bend your leg down till it goes as straight as
it
can.
It's Spanish Inquisition all over again.
I mean, they are basically, you know, tools of torture that are being used to get you back to where you need to be. But he said it hasn't been that bad, and he's been really happy with the way it's been going, which is, you know, for a potential, not comeback, but to remain with the team, that's a good sign. you know, if it were going slow, he's a little older. You never know how these things go.
Yeah, no, he was pretty upbeat last week. That was good that you got some of the ins and outs of what he's doing.
Because he had a name for it. I forgot what he said. Did they have that when you were – when you? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And then he explained it, and I was like, yeah, they definitely didn't have that. I would have cried at that, too. I think back in my day, they used weights. I think they just kind of – you put it on a pillow, and they put a weight on top of your knee.
Yeah, that must be – a heavier weight. That must be painful because they do – you know, even like on the Achilles, they break up the scar tissue, and they try to, you know, knock it off. But it's not a range of motion kind of thing, so it's not painful.
Right.
It actually feels much better when they do that.
No, this is actual
tearing.
It
loosens it up a little bit.
I mean, you literally think, you're like, I hope this guy's a professional because it feels like he's just re-tearing everything in my knee, like worse than the actual first injury.
Well, and that must be weird, too, because you're like, does this guy know what he's doing?
Right, because it doesn't seem
like
it.
Right? Did it heal right? Is something wrong?
I mean, it's archaic. He's got his foot on your shoulder, and he's just pushing as hard as he can. There doesn't seem to be a lot of science involved.
Right.
Just to clear up something we were talking about yesterday about field goals, Andy was wrong once again. Justin Alaska says, yesterday Andy was talking about when a field goal is good. Your assumption was that if the ball crosses the crossbar and is between the uprights but then blows back out due to wind, that it would be no good. That is false. In order for a field goal to be good, the kick ball dropped or placed without a tee must travel completely between the uprights and cross the crossbar in its entirety. Once the ball fully crosses the crossbar, the field goal is good. If a gust of wind blew the ball back towards the field, after it has fully crossed the bar, it is still good.
That's what Andy said.
No, he said.
No, I said the other. I thought
the opposite.
If it goes over the crossbar and comes back, it's still good.
Right.
That's not what you said yesterday.
No, he said.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood what you. I misunderstood what you said yesterday.
Yeah. I thought it was bad. I thought it either had to hit the ground or something behind it.
I thought once it crossed the crossbar, it was good. I thought that's what you were saying yesterday.
No,
I must have
the opposite.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good.
Where do you get that from?
Good clarification.
He's a football ref, Justin in Alaska.
See, that's what I thought it was, but I thought, I don't know, I must have been on crack yesterday.
See, you're the one that doesn't listen, not me.
That's true, Fred.
Why are you yelling at him?
Because you always yell at me.
I wasn't yelling at you today. Know? I'm very calm today. Talk to Jimmy Sanders.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did you get Andy's permission?
First of all, I did. And then during the, at the end of the interview, because he had made a comment, basically the tenor of what I want to write is that if you recall, Freddie, back in the summer, he was sort of the forgotten guy. You know, they had all these safeties and everybody had a role and James Sanders didn't have a role. And he said, yeah, I know what a lot of people were writing and saying. And I interrupted him. I said, well, just so you know, PFW wasn't writing or saying any of those things.
Because you have a guy who won't let him.
And then at the end of the interview, and I said, in all seriousness, PFW is big James Sanders fans. I said, and in particular, Andy Hart. And I went in, and Mike Reese happened to come over, and he goes, oh, he's not lying. Andy Hart, he's been on you for at least the last 3 years. He's been talking you up.
Real professional in there. did you ask for his autograph, too?
it was, you know what, Fred?
Yeah.
Asking for his autograph would have been more professional than what I did. Let's put it that way. I was just kind of...
Well, Reese was the one who was trying to trade him. Every time he wrote a story about James Sanders, who could be traded to a team that needs depth at safety.
And that's what I said to him. I said, I know that you said that you would listen to some of that stuff. Did you know that there was actually a trade and there was a specific proposal to Detroit that was thrown out there? Did you hear any of that? Did you follow it? Do you ignore it? And he said, to be honest with you, that's the first I've heard of that. I never heard anything about a trade.
Well, that must have hurt Mike. He's not reading his stuff.
So it was interesting. But I find it interesting with Sanders in particular. This is not the first time it's happened, too. It seems like every year they go in and they say, we're going to do this, this, and this differently. And then every year, by the time it all comes out of the laundry, bang, James Sanders is the best option back there because he's always doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, he's smart. He knows what, like you said, he does his job. So that's really important.
Unless
this year.
His job is blitzing.
Yeah, he's not a great blitzer.
He's terrible at that.
But, it is amazing about, even if you just look at the defensive line and what's going on there. You know, Ty Warren is out, and they've just been rotating through these guys that I don't know if they play on other teams, but they have roles here, and –
Sometimes.
And now the depth is even thinner.
That's what I find interesting is that they don't always have a role.
Not on a given Love, day. On a given
Kyle
day.
Love is in for 3 weeks, then he's out for 3 weeks, then he's back in for a week. You know, Ron Brace, his career is over, then he starts a couple games, then his career is over again. And, you know, Myron Pryor, I would say, has been, when healthy, pretty consistent in his role. But some of these guys, it's like they're up, they're down. Who knows what the hell's going on with them? But you're right, then they contribute.
It's pretty incredible, you know, and you have to give credit to the scheme and the system there because, you know, I'm sure they're told to do a specific thing, and as long as they do that thing to a certain level, the Patriots are going to be okay.
And I think they benefit from, obviously, Vince Wilfork being able to do a lot of things.
Right.
Oh, he's the nose tackle this week, so we need an end to do X. Well, next week we'll have him at end, so we need a nose tackle to just do X. And maybe that's Kyle Love. You just can't move. Don't make a single tackle. Just don't move. Dig your feet in and stay there.
Right.
You know, and I think they benefit from Wilfork being able to do multiple things across the line.
Yeah. So,
But it's the same at linebacker.
Yeah.
Every week it's Ninkovich, it's Vanta Kane, it's Cunningham. Oh, Fletcher's going to play. Oh, we're going to put Kyle Arrington in. We're going to put Eric Moore in. We're going to put – this week's it's Spikes. Now it's not Spikes, it's Guyton. I mean – and you have Mayo. Mayo's always out there, and then you have the guys around him. He's kind of the Wilfork of that group. It's the same thing. It's starting to develop at safety and kind of nickel corner now, the same thing, where you don't know who's going to be out there. A third safety, a third corner, Page, Chung.
Well, that's the reason why I targeted Sanders was because it seems like he's the guy that's always there now, and sometimes it's Chung with him, sometimes it's Merriweather with him. No, I'm talking about the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Not all year.
I wouldn't quite put him, you know, I love him more than anyone, but I'm not putting him in the Mayo Wilfork category.
No, I wouldn't write it like that, but I think the last couple of weeks you've seen Merriweather not play. I mean, I think I don't know if he played 10 plays the other day. Couldn't have played more than 20.
A very interesting article today. I'd recommend it to any Patriot fan on ESPN Boston, a former lineman, offensive lineman.
Oh, I read that. It was very good.
Played for the Patriots and also played for a couple other teams. Talked
That's
about
on ESPN Boston?
Ross Tucker, yes.
Yeah.
I thought
ESPN.
He worked for SI.
Yeah, I think he works for ESPN now.
Oh.
Well, and ESPN Boston took it from ESPN.
Well, Ross Tucker wrote an article about Dante Scarnecchia, about how, you know, he doesn't agree with everything he did, doesn't agree with, you know, his negative
methods.
Enforcement of things, but he has to admit he's probably the best offensive line coach he ever had in his career. And, you know, I think there's a lot of groundswell for Scarnecchia this year because of, you know, how well the offensive line's been doing.
Well, I think with knowledgeable fans and players and analysts, you've heard that he's one of the best in the game for a while.
Yeah, but he's this. People
I mean, he's always taking crap and making it pretty good.
That's the thing that stands out to me is they lose a Mankins for 10 games and there's no discernible difference. There was a difference, but it wasn't huge. Yeah. You know, Neal goes out and then Conley switches sides. It's okay.
Whenever Ryan other Wendell, teams do that, they give up 6 sacks that game.
Right.
It's an embarrassment, whether it's Pittsburgh or, you know, Chicago. These teams that go through these stretches, moving bodies around, they never react. The Patriots always react at least okay.
But it's
not
the same thing.
It just it works. It's never this jailbreak situation.
It's the same thing that we were talking about, 6 years ago when Damian Woody goes out and Ross Hochstein goes in and they don't allow a sack
always.
In the postseason. You know, it's this stuff that, you know, Dante is just very, very good at what he does. He's a great teacher.
Yeah.
He's a great teacher. And, you know, listening to how Ross Tucker put it, he demands a lot. He's a very demanding coach, and he expects the guys. It's no surprise to me to watch the way they play and listening to the way he talked about how he goes about preparing them.
Yeah.
And Andy's right. The runaway rushers, that's the thing that – remember I mentioned the Jets game the Monday night. The pass protection in that game was pretty solid. But they had 3 sacks, and all 3 of them, a guy just came free. That never happens against the Patriots.
Right.
That's why it was so stunning.
Yep.
A guy just ran off the edge. No one took him. No one blocked him, and Brady was down.
Yep.
And it's also why you see, I think, certain guys don't fit here or whatever, because not everybody can deal with. He's pretty hard. He's tough on his guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I joked to Paul. One of my favorite lines from training camp was he called a couple of guys that screwed up bleeping morons, and then he paused a second and said, louder and more emphatically, bleeping morons. And not everybody reacts well to being called a
bleeping
moron
in
front of
everybody.
For a while,
we had a string of offensive linemen that would retire in training camp, probably because I'm not going through it anymore. You know, Dante.
Guys that are trying to steal one last paycheck decide it's not worth it.
Yeah. This isn't the place to do that. I'm not going to skate by. And a lot of people, I don't know, maybe they do know, he's also the assistant head coach on this team. And I don't know what that entails as far as, but it'd be interesting to find out what does it entail to be the assistant head coach on this team? You know, I don't know.
Well, you must not think it entails anything because you didn't think the defensive coordinator did anything.
No, it's not this.
I'm kidding. Stop. I was just joking.
You know, well, he filled in.
Oh, watch yourself there.
What? The same title on different teams can mean different things. That's all I'm saying.
True. He filled in when Bill's father passed away
for that week. He also filled in when McPherson.
That was way back. Yeah, that was 25 years ago or something. Yeah. But I'm saying under Belichick, he really is next in line.
Yeah. But he's not really next in line. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, now. If Bill retires, he's not head coach in waiting.
Right.
He's next in chain of command.
I don't think he has an interest in being a head coach.
I don't think he does either.
Yeah.
I don't think he would want to do a press conference every day. No. Are you freaking kidding me? No way.
No.
He doesn't care for the media.
No.
Not at all, actually.
Pete Prisco's up to good again.
Pete loves to tweak Patriots
People
fans.
Remember him. What is he with? Yahoo? Is he with the dadgum Yahoo?
I thought it was CBS.
Oh, yeah, CBS Sports. He's got his power rankings out. The Patriots are number two, and everybody's up in arms.
It's Tuesday. NFL power rankings are out. Patriots, too.
Atlanta?
That's what Tom Cuddy says.
Somebody just emailed it in. I don't know who number one is, but
yeah,
Pete
ridiculous.
Prisco likes doing that.
He loves to tweak Patriots fans.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Maybe he believes it.
But he knows that if he puts Patriots one, he doesn't get 400 emails from Patriots fans.
Right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com.
Webradio.
Phone number is 508-543-7482. We cleared up the whole ratings thing yesterday.
Not really.
No?
There's still some doubt as to the number of shows and all this crap.
You really are.
So we're either down slightly or down a huge.
Or up.
Either way, we're not up.
We're up.
I've yet to see an answer that leads to us up. We're either down slightly or a ton. Either the ship is taking on water or the ship is at the bottom of the ocean.
All right. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her. But online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
I didn't search it out. It was just sent to me.
You watched it.
You watched it.
No, I wanted to see what was going on
in your office.
I'm just telling you, if someone sent that to me, I would have deleted it.
No, you got to know what the hell people are talking about.
Not when it involves, Andy would say, junk.
I don't feel like I'm at a loss discussing Brett Favre at all, and I've yet to see his junk.
Well, I was, I wanted to see what all the hubbub was about. So anyway.
It everything you thought it would be?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7742 is the ACE ticket hotline.
An 8.
7482.
What's that?
You're giving out 3, 3, and 3. The last section has to have four numbers.
508-543-7482.
There you go.
Thank you.
It's the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Oh, my God.
How's Ace Tickets doing these days? Is it selling a lot of tickets?
I'm sure they're doing very well.
I would think the secondary ticket market for the Patriots is
very good.
Booming right now.
Yeah, I know the last two games were impossible to get tickets.
I still don't get that whole secondary ticket market, scalping, legal.
You don't get it?
Legal.
What do you mean you don't get it?
I don't really get
it. What makes it legal?
How it works.
Well, it's a state law. Some states it's legal, some states it's not.
So it's completely legal?
In New Jersey, it's absolutely legal.
But what about Massachusetts?
No, it's illegal at this point. I think that might change.
Well, how do they do that? That's where I am confused.
They
the
have
legal scalping.
Fees
what makes it
and all
legal?
That stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's
shady.
It's shady.
Say what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's where I started. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's legalized.
It's nothing
illegality.
It's nothing we're doing wrong. It's
no.
The Patriots.
No, we all have. I mean, there's
business.
A freaking, isn't there a ACE ticket window at Fenway or whatever? Like, they have a storefront.
Yeah.
StubHub.
No, I mean, it just feels
dirty. They tack
dirty.
On these fees and surcharges and all this stuff, and before you know it, you're paying double,
Yeah, that sounds like scalping. It sounds like the same thing the guy out on the street is doing.
Oh, I hear you.
And yet, the state trooper walks up to the guy on the street and shuts him down or arrests him, and these people do it with a big billboard. Ace tickets.
They have a
here.
License,
Ace
and they're paying taxes.
It's a license to steal.
Well, that you could say that.
I did.
Yeah.
But call our Ace Ticket hotline here at PFW in Progress.
Let's see. Mike from Springfield says we shouldn't be worried about the ratings, but he also says, I was listening to the post-game analysis, and Jamie Dukes flat out said all the success was due to Brady, period. I was thinking it is still a way to minimize Moss's departure and not credit Branch's play. I think in a lot of other people's play, too. A lot of it is Brady.
Well,
there's no
I would
doubt.
Go back to the Reggie Jackson quote. He's the straw that stirs the
drink.
I mean, there's other aspects of the drink. There's some ice. There's some liquor. There's a mix-in. But
He's the straw and he stirs it.
I don't think it's literally all one guy, but you take that one guy away.
Sure.
And you end up losing 31-0 like the Chiefs did. I mean, I just think that he makes that big of a difference
in
the offense.
I don't know about that.
Especially if you put Brody Croyle in.
Yeah,
I think he could be. I don't know if those NFL lists have done the 10 worst quarterbacks in league history. I think he's in the mix.
Do you know he's never won a game?
Yes, he's horrendous. He's never thrown a ball that looked good.
What about Eric Crouch? Remember he was supposed to be.
Did he ever play?
He never played.
Yeah, I know.
They were making him a safety and he retired.
Yeah.
That was the
I'm
guy.
Talking about a guy who gets opportunities, who a team
NFL
lines up and says, well, if Castle goes down, we'll put in Croyle. How is that? On what planet is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's not. You can't literally say it's all one guy. But let's face it. There's when you have those elite quarterbacks, the team's just not the same without them. Just not the same.
No. And that's why, you know, the quarterback.
So largely it is about
Brady. Is the most important position.
In all of sports.
It might be in all of sports.
That and playoff goalie.
You know? I guess if you have a dominating pitcher in baseball, but he can only do it one out of every 4 or 5 days.
Right.
You know? What? What are you?
I'm watching a guy beat up a referee for no reason.
I wonder what happened.
Now,
he probably deserved it.
Is it on the YouTube?
Well, it's on SportsCenter right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they got it off of YouTube, though.
You know how this goes. It's going to be one of those things you can never will never know because there'll be some rumor, speculation, allegation that he called him gay or a derogatory racial term or something that set him off. Because that's how these always are.
Sure.
You know, the Roberto Alomar one, that was always that he called him a gay slur.
Yeah.
There's always one of those. And you can never question it. Because if that's true, okay, maybe the guy has a right to lose it right there.
Yeah. Callum Bell in Glasgow, Scotland writes in. Hey, guys, and I include poor Eric in that. Hopefully I've come up with some questions that are interesting or crazy enough to be honored by you and finally read out on the show. Firstly,
I love those people that are mad that he doesn't read them.
Oh, you should hear the post. Why aren't you posting me? And then they keep doing that. When am I supposed to post that, you know?
Well, I think they want you to post the original one,
well,
the actual comment.
That's long gone.
But you have time to post. My dog just pooped on the carpet.
Sometimes you need a change of pace.
Sounds like that is the pace.
Firstly, how much do we all owe the Bills for seemingly ending the Favre hoopla once and for all? I do respect Brett, but him playing for the Jets soured him for me. And also, I say if you do something for 20 years, then you're bound to break some records. good point.
I think that's a great point.
Are we now saying he wasn't good?
He was good.
He
was better than good.
I mean, you don't win 3 MVPs because you were good for 20 years. You win it because you were good that year.
He was great. He was great for the first 10 years of his career.
He was the Pete Maravich of the NFL.
Paul,
you probably don't remember
little,
who Pete
No,
Maravich
I know
is.
Who Pistol Pete is, but I don't know the I don't get the comparison.
I don't either, but Brett Favre was great for a long period of time.
Yeah, Pete.
But he also hasn't been great for
and
a long
fine.
Period of time.
And I would argue that if you play for 20 years, you cannot possibly be great for 20 years.
He's a great individual player in a team.
You know,
sport. You're
talking like 93, 94, 95, 96, you know, that mid-90s stretch, he was great. He was great. But it didn't last long.
No.
I don't think
last year he was great.
He had a great year last year. Yes, he did.
So, you're not going to be great for 20 years. It's impossible.
Secondly, I don't know who it was, but after seeing Edelman having a return TD chopped off for someone holding, does anything happen in the NFL or with the Pats where the guy who's responsible has to make up for it, like buy Edelman dinner, for example? Seems like a fair trade to me, unless the holding is why he had the return. That's me editorializing.
I never saw the replay.
I believe it was Fletcher, right?
Fletcher got called for
it. It was Dame Fletcher.
But I never saw the replay.
I don't know if they have any kind of kangaroo court or anything going on.
But you are right, Fred. There's a lot of times that those long returns,
it's because
that's responsible is because of a block in the back or whatever it is.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Loving the show, even though I can't listen live. As always, this is my first season listening to you guys. And let me say, it has made it so much better. Mm. So that's great.
Add one, lose 20,000. That's good.
Oh, Andy. You're not going to do this again, are you?
No, you have to look at the
Chris, you know, Chris was all upset at you yesterday. Chris Pereira.
Why?
He comes in and he goes, what's wrong with Andy? What is up? And he's right.
If you're not getting
Snap
better,
out of it.
You're getting worse.
You know, you have to look at the nature of...
Yeah, why can't you be more like Pereira?
And not care?
Come on.
You have to look at the nature of how this all
Let's
works.
Not throw
and
pot
if
shots
it's
here.
True that people, you know, if they tend to listen at the gym or if they tend to listen at work, and because of the holidays, that's disrupted, you're going to lose some downloads.
Okay. So December will suck too because of Christmas.
It could.
So next time,
although
January, I'll shoot for.
Although
it.
What we should do is play it up, you know, because I'm assuming a lot of people are going to get iPods, iPads.
That's true.
Androids, stuff like that that will allow them to download listen to this for Christmas. So, you know, we should have this preloaded. We should talk to these manufacturers and have Patriots content preloaded into the device.
Have Fred's face on the front of the new
kind of like
the,
when we got our Blackberries and Twitter was already on.
Right.
I can't listen to my Blackberry.
Let's see. Manish writes in.
Is this the guy Paul likes from New York?
No. On the urine stream?
Yeah. Urine stream.
Love the show. This is my first email. Hope you read it. This whole month is an awesome month for Boston. The Patriots 5-game winning streak, Jets 2-game losing streak, Red Sox get Crawford and Gonzalez, Yankees lose Cliff Lee. What more can anyone ask?
Celtics-Knicks tonight.
I hope the Pats make mistakes in the next three games so that they can learn from it and not make the mistakes in the postseason. And what do you guys think about Thighgate?
Was this Michael Gee?
They made plenty. We were talking about that yesterday. They made plenty of mistakes on Sunday, which is perfect for Bill to have such a dominant performance, but have legitimate gripes. You know, John Rook's nitpick Tuesday. Well, Bill Belichick had nitpick Tuesday, but they were legit.
Right.
You know, clean it up.
Yeah, it's hard to play a flawless football game. There's so
virtually
much stuff
impossible.
Going on every
they
play.
They were awesome, though, in that game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
They were awesome.
Yeah.
The offensive line was unbelievable in that game.
Yep.
Andy talked about the runs early in the game, you know, the Benny runs. Those holes were just
huge. He didn't have to work for those.
Huge.
He just trotted his way through a 3-yard hole and gone.
I'll bet you, knowing Scarnecchia, there's a certain technique that you use on a day like that that he... You know,
could be something you want to make sure you keep your base under you.
He certainly has enough experience in it that he would pick up things over the years.
Right. Doug writes in. Let's see where Doug is from if he says so.
Blackstone.
No, he's in Reno.
Reno.
I'm assuming Nevada. you never know. You were discussing yesterday about the differences between the 07 Pats and the current team. And I know that Brady had addressed that question and said that they were two different teams. He had stated the 07 team was more of a big yardage team compared to this one. With that being said, my thoughts were that this current team has a better running game, which sets up the play-action pass much easier, but also, and I think this is the most important part, that because Brady does not now have to wait for the play to develop downfield, he can get the ball out much quicker, and it also takes some of the pressure off the offensive line. I would love to hear your comments. They have impressed all of us this year, and barring injury and on the offensive side, if our defense can continue to improve, we have as good a shot at winning it as anyone. I agree with that. You know, the whole thing with the play developing downfield, if Randy Moss is your number one target, you do have to wait for the play to develop.
Sure.
You know, and that's...
I mean, Wes Welker caught how many passes that year? 120?
Right. But how many of them were, you know, checkdowns or... You know, and how much was he the number one target? I don't know.
Probably a lot where he was the number one target. I mean, they throw a lot of screens to him and stuff.
That's but he also has a lot of catches this year, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is I don't think that they were spending their time just totally looking downfield.
Well, they were a lot. I mean, 23 touchdowns for Randy Moss. That's incredible.
Right, but we make it sound like every time we threw the ball to Moss, it required a seven-step drop.
No.
And 20 seconds for him to get open.
Correct.
Sometimes you just drop back and then throw it up there for him.
He had some short passes, too, just to get him in the rhythm of the game early, I can recall. So, but it is a different offense.
It's
no doubt.
It's a bad, I agree with. It's a totally different offense.
It's a different. And the
tight ends are huge in this offense.
The tight ends are a big part of that.
And they were a non-factor in that offense with Kyle Brady and Benjamin Watson.
Right. Russ from England, just repeating what was said on the broadcast regarding the balls.
Got a hair in your mouth?
No. What, you're supposed to cough, right?
Oh. I don't know that I've ever had that.
Really?
You never had a hernia test?
I don't know.
Huh.
I've had when they roll them around and do, like, the cancer screening.
Rolling around?
Yeah, they do the cancer screening. And they
show
you a video.
They do the rolling?
Yeah.
Make sure there's no testicular
cancer.
Again,
like Michael Gee with a pen cap.
I've never had that.
Polly.
You've never had that?
No. Never had the rolling around.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
You're supposed to check yourself.
Yeah,
actually.
You're supposed to grab each one and roll it around.
Andy brings a sock when he checks himself.
But seriously, you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
You don't do it?
No.
You're supposed to.
I haven't.
You should.
Yeah.
Or you should ask your doctor.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Or you end up like John Kruk and these other guys that all of a sudden, boom, you're getting testicles removed because you're late to the party.
Well, next week on Men's Health, we'll be talking about prostate cancer.
Well, I do have my colonoscopy next week.
You do?
I do. Next Wednesday. After Mr.
So if you have
week.
Any stupid facts you want to get out of him, get them now. Because
if any trivia, get it in now.
Post-colonoscopy, your memory goes.
Any chance they'll find William Bendenson up there?
We should explain.
William is a big fan of ours.
CBS Sports Line.
No, of us.
No, you.
No,
he likes you. He likes
you. Oh, no,
he aspires to be you.
It's a lot of good Jumbos talk with Andy every week.
That's true. I should ask him about Samco. I don't know if anyone heard, but Bill Samco was
Andy's coach
let go as the head football coach at Tufts University. Well, it sounds a lot like when Bill Belichick was let go with the Browns. It's kind of, he's no longer the coach. We're not saying he was fired, and he's just no longer the coach. He's not, what was Bill? He's not,
Bill
did not make
fired?
The move with the team
I thought
to
Bill
Baltimore.
Was just fired.
He did, but in the media guide it says Belichick did not make the move with the Browns to Baltimore.
Oh.
You know when you spin it to not look quite as harsh?
Russ goes on, whoever the Joker's running commentary were said that they had spoken to Cutler, and he said, quote, it's not even worth my time thinking about. I don't care what the ball's like. I kind of like that new lacquer on it. The announcers were implying that the teams are allowed to take the ball and scuff it up to their own specifications. I also heard one announcer say after a bad Manning pass, the ball slipped out of his hand. Got to get them balls worked in properly, Peyton. Just repeating what we heard on the broadcast, feel free to doubt it, Paul.
Why am I doubting it? We talked about this for 2 hours yesterday.
You always yell at the emailers and doubt that they don't know what they're talking about.
But all of that stuff was talked about yesterday on the show.
Well, I think you were yelling that, you know.
I wasn't yelling anything. I had no
idea
about any of that.
If Cutler likes it that way, then how can you argue with
that? He just said he likes the lacquer on it.
Yeah.
That guy just said that.
That's what he's talking about.
Well,
so
he
I'm
also
not doubting
said,
it.
It's not worth my time.
It's not worth my time. I like it that
You're
way.
You're paid tens of millions of dollars to lead an NFL team. If it helps you, it's worth your time.
That's Andy's point, Paul.
My point, I think Andy's right. I don't know why anybody would want to throw a football that's slick and brand new.
Lacquered up.
But he likes it that way.
Lacquered up quarterback.
Right. But so is he dumb for liking it that way?
That's Andy's point.
Right. No, but even
my
that
point
sentence,
is whatever way you like it is the way you like it.
I know, but do you think he's dumb for liking it that way?
But wait, break down
for
the
that,
sentence.
No.
You don't.
No.
Take
I think
his
he's
words.
Dumb, yes.
Take
not
his
for
words.
That.
He didn't just say I like the lacquer. He started with,
I don't care.
It's not
it's
even
not
worth
my
time.
Right.
And I
kind
of like the lacquer. But starting with, it's not worth my time is one
is
of the
dumber
things
comment.
You could possibly say.
Yeah.
That leads you to believe he's stupid, he's a drunk, he doesn't care,
you know
he's not dedicated.
Do you ever have a football, even like you know, like an old football, and one of the laces are even like worn away and out? Even that bothers me when I throw it. You know, I think I think you can be particular about the balls that you throw.
No, but I think he is.
The balls you play with. I'm particular about the balls
point
I
that
play
I,
with.
The only point I disagree with is I
my
think
own.
He likes it the way it is when it's brand new.
I don't think he's
I don't understand
much
why
to
anybody would want it that way,
yeah.
But he likes it that
That's
way.
That's the problem. It's not worth his time. He hasn't given much thought to it. Maybe you should.
But you know what's truly stunning? The guy went to Vanderbilt. That's a good school. He seems like the utter rockhead of
but
the
he's
NFL.
Not. He's clearly test intelligent.
Oh, kind of like you.
But he's an idiot.
Kind of like you.
No.
Going to Tufts.
Go F yourself.
That's exactly the response I'm looking for from a NESCAC grad.
There we go. Here we go. Some good Northeast college.
Small college athletic conference talk.
It is one of the best colleges, universities in the world. 52nd ranked in the world, Fred, if you want to know. I think that's what I read in my latest newsletter.
What was your major coming out of there?
John
English.
DiBiase went
English.
To Tufts. The Everett High coach.
You
who,
had to go to Tufts to major in
English?
I went
as an engineer. I was an engineer for a while.
For about a day.
No, I was an engineer for a year and a half.
I
he
really
was an engineer longer than he was a teacher.
I enjoyed my days as an engineer major.
I actually did very well.
Why'd you get out of it?
I just couldn't see myself being an engineer.
It's too hard.
So you could actually see yourself doing this?
While I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Oh, no.
I will miss you.
This wasn't part of the plan.
No.
I didn't really have a plan after the engineer thing fell apart.
Really? What did you go into?
English.
Oh, that's right.
Were you gonna, so you really did think you were going to be a teacher?
Well, that was the fallback to have that, you know.
Well, what were you going to do with an English major?
I don't know. What's your major?
Fred.
Professional writing. Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Go Pats.
I think
you
it's pretty clear he didn't have a plan.
I actually watched you labor over your edit letter on the plane. I kept
isn't
looking
it fun?
Over.
Isn't it
and there'd be one sentence. 20 minutes later, ooh, there's two sentences now.
In Fred's defense, there are times where he falls asleep in the middle.
Well, and as his defense, he was going, what is that smell? That's not humanly normal.
It wasn't. And it was a human, and it wasn't the plane. And
are you sure? I still think it was the
plane.
I absolutely know it was.
Because Christy was right there.
What if that's her best friend?
So?
I'm telling you.
Did you smell anything?
Smell anything funny on the plane?
Look,
that's inappropriate to ask somebody?
I just think it's ridiculous. Either go to the bathroom or hold it in.
Well, it's hard, though. As a person with a digestive problem, sometimes there's times where go to the bathroom. I'll spend the next 2 hours of this flight farting in the bathroom.
Whatever.
Oh, no. There's times where my stomach hurts so bad because I'm holding gas.
Yes.
By the time
sometimes
we land.
You can't, that,
you just, it's common courtesy.
You blow up. You ever seen the South Park?
George Costanza?
I just don't think it's right.
Did you guys see your stupid Seinfeld Festivus thing in the news yesterday?
What is your problem? Why?
Some guy
claimed
he was celebrating Festivus in prison and needed to have a kosher diet and a special.
Why do you take pride in being the only person that doesn't think that Seinfeld was a good show?
It wasn't.
Now we'll get like 5 emails. I didn't think it was good either, Andy.
Most overrated show in the history of shows.
Oh, you're absolutely out of your mind.
I thought he was going to call me an a-hole.
That's why I thought he was going to give me the F-bomb earlier when I said, whoa, whoa.
Nathan writes in from Southern Cal. Jake Steele, Miller Heavy, Big Head, and Ben Gay. Listen to the...
No, it's... Oh, I see. I thought it was present tense. Not Ben Gay.
Listen to the yesterday's podcast. Then I decided to download it a couple times to boost your ratings.
Thank you.
Anyway, you failed to talk about perhaps one of the most important points with the Patriots win and the Jets loss, and that was to see the look on Fireman Ed's. He has another name for him, which I won't say. Fireman Ed's face when the Jets went for it on fourth down and they didn't convert. It was great, and the look summed up the Jets' ending to the season. Buying lunch for PFW, $100, Super Bowl tickets, $1,000. The look on Fireman Ed's face when he realized the Jets are going down faster than a meatball sub in Paul's hands, priceless.
Freddie's big on the meatball subs.
All right, here's a question. If Fireman Ed came out and said, I've given up on the Jets, I'd like to become a Patriots fan, would you accept me? Would
you
have him come here and be Fireman Ed for the Patriots?
P-A-T-S, Pats.
Yeah.
No.
You wouldn't allow that?
No.
No.
Okay. No. I know we lack any entertainment and creativity in the stadium during games, but I don't want sloppy seconds from the Jets.
Okay. I would rather have a guy who emulated him for the Patriots than have him come and have to take their leftovers.
Ugh.
I hate that guy.
Plus, I would feel like I was being set up like a... Like all of a sudden in the biggest game of the year, he's established himself for a season. He's going to do J-E-T, and the crowd follows him just like Pavlovian dogs, and all of a sudden your home stadium's chanting Jets. That'd be a Vince McMahon production.
Because, you know, we have firemen here, too, in Boston, and we could have our firemen.
Sully. We could have Sully and Obie. Yeah.
But no, that's been done.
I understand.
Let's have a fisherman or something, or a lobsterman.
Well, how about just have guys that, you know, cheer at the appropriate times?
Well, we know that's not going to happen, so we have to look past that.
He's gone.
He went to get
pizza. He's getting
pizza for you guys.
Oh, good. TG and NJ, nitpicks from the people who supposedly don't listen to your show. Who is more of a drama queen, Andy Hart or Brett Favre?
Brett Favre.
Easily.
Andy Hart.
Andy's whining about the ratings was just as annoying as his infatuation with the balls. Jeez, no wonder no one listens to the show. All you do is laugh about adolescent ball jokes. Sometimes I get the feeling Andy is the next generation Felger. Only thing is, Andy is funny. He makes you laugh. Felger just wants to get you upset. Calm down, Andy. The show's doing fine. You are relevant. Don't get your balls all bunched up. Seriously, my nitpick, and this includes Rook as well, you all seem to be booking your hotel rooms for Dallas already.
Nope.
Seems premature. Are we going to overlook Green Bay this weekend? I know Rodgers may not be playing, but does that not make it a trap game then?
No.
And what about the recent injuries?
No, it makes it an unlosable game.
And what about the recent injuries? Are they also not a factor? There are 3 games left in the regular season, still enough football to be played that could knock off those rose-colored glasses
that's
you all
correct.
Seem to be wearing. I'm not trying to be negative, although you are.
Injuries,
just trying to stay
injuries
focused.
Could knock off the rose-colored glasses.
I'm not
glasses.
Trying to be negative.
However, if we do get some more ridiculous leads going into the fourth quarter, is it too much to ask to perhaps let Hoyer have a go, get him some reps, keep Brady out of harm's way? TG, behind enemy lines, enjoying listening to the upset Jets fans.
What a disaster. You hear that clip they keep playing on 98.5?
No.
The guy from the fan, they crossed over. They crossed over a lot before the Patriots-Jets game, and then the day after the Jets game, they talked to him again. And what a disaster.
Maybe
you
that guy that did that thing
thick,
in the
Long
week
Island
one.
Accent?
I'd like to hear that guy that did the thing in week one.
Levitard?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I wonder what he's saying.
That was hilarious.
Well, if they lose, who are they playing Pittsburgh this week?
They could lose again.
They could easily lose.
Loving it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what could happen.
Although,
you know what could
there
happen?
Is a case for rooting for the Jets if you're a Patriots
fan. Oh, you should be rooting for the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean,
if
you're confident, if you're confident,
right.
Root for the Jets so the Patriots can secure home field.
Because
I don't think the Patriots are going to lose.
Right.
I mean, if you would root for the Jets if you thought the Patriots were going to continue to lose. I don't think that's going to happen.
Unless the Patriots lose, assuming the Patriots win, it's a can't-lose weekend. I mean, one or the other is going to lose, and you're happy about. You have a reason to be happy.
You know what could happen though? The Jets and the Dolphins could enter the last week at 9-6, theoretically. I mean, it's probably unlikely, but it could happen. And then that Dolphins game is huge against the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, and the Patriots get to decide. Kind of like the emailer said yesterday. You know, what happens if the Patriots, if the Dolphins need that game? If you're the Patriots,
if it means getting
the Jets out,
I throw the game. I tank it.
I think Bill would, too.
I tank it.
Hey, did you happen to see, by the way, you know, the Redskins scored that touchdown in the final seconds with, like, 8 seconds left, and they missed the extra point because the ball went through the guy's hands? They released him?
Oh, Gano?
Hunter Smith? No. The holder.
Oh.
After the game, Hunter.
Gano missed, like, three field goals.
He missed a short field goal early in the game. I knew that.
I think he missed three or two.
He's terrible.
That was the third that they
But Hunter Smith for. Said, if anybody deserves to lose their job, it's me. And 2 days later, they released him.
Washington's another team.
Whew. They stink.
They're on the...
And that boy, as I predicted, terrible year coaching Mike Shanahan.
Oh, yeah.
The wheels
Absolutely.
Have fallen off.
I think it starts with him.
Well, yeah.
You know? Alex in Falmouth says, I missed yesterday's show, though I would assume there was some discussion of Julian Edelman and his negated 71-yard punt return for a touchdown. That and his blocking during the game was a refreshing return to a high level of performance. I remember hearing a couple comments from you guys last week, valid certainly, about how he's disappeared recently. Anyway, I want to nominate Julian to receive a game ball. He put in a great effort and got some good results this week. Actually, Julian was on my images of the week for Comcast. I used one of him laying down a block at the line of scrimmage for Danny Woodhead on a linebacker. It's not easy to do.
Nope.
But
not for a college quarterback.
Yeah, he's a tough kid, even though he's got kind of weird hair.
He's scrappy.
Yeah, he is. He's
tough to tackle.
He's a tough. He makes nice cuts, and he's a lot thicker than you would think. You know, you think of a college quarterback turned NFL wide receiver. He's thicker than the average, guy his size. Like Woodhead. I mean, Woodhead looks like a little baby, but no, he does. But he's got legs like tree trunks.
He does.
You know.
And that's where his power and quickness and everything comes
from. Sure.
He doesn't look like a little baby.
Well, he's got a baby face,
like
I should
kid.
Say. He's got a baby face.
Well, he looks like he's got a pubescent face because he's got that scruffy stuff. He's trying to grow it in.
The common term is baby face. That's what people say.
But he doesn't.
I agree, Fred.
He has hair.
Oh, for Christ's
He always
sake.
Has
I think he looks
a,
very
a 5 o'clock shadow because my guess is it's like a 5-day shadow. But he's babyface to me is a guy who can't grow facial hair.
You're gonna nitpick me about babyface.
I'm with
Tuesday.
You. I think he's very babyface.
Thanks, Paul.
Guy.
If you're a babyface, can't have facial hair. It's a rule.
Let's see, guys and Eric. This is Sean from Atlanta. I'm gonna go against the grain and say Wes Welker should be the comeback player of the year over Michael Vick.
That's against the grain.
He's
That's
coming back from an injury that takes a long time to recover from, and his stats are comparable to his past years with the Patriots. He's on pace to have over 100 receptions and has just about double the touchdowns from last year. Do you guys think he should win comeback player of the year?
Yes, that was part of my commentary this week. I think he should be a lock.
There's also a groundswell for E.J. Henderson.
Yes, I think Michael Vick shouldn't be the guy. I don't. You came back from something you created. You actually came back last year and, were a shell of yourself. You're having a good year. Okay, great. You've missed half your team's games or whatever it was at one point. I don't think he should win it at all. I think it's a two-horse race between Henderson and Welker. Both came back from terrible injuries very quickly and are performing at a pretty high level. To me, it's those two. It's not Vic.
How about Matt Cassel?
What did he come back from?
Sucking.
He did not suck.
Oh.
The guy who sucked was Dwayne Bowe. If you want to give him comeback player of the year from sucking,
okay.
then I'll say Dwayne Bowe.
All right.
But no, it's Henderson and Welker. Those are the two that should be the legit candidates.
I abstain.
You don't like that award.
I hate that award.
Yeah. Comeback player of the year.
It's a good talk radio award because it's the perfect. You can always make an argument and no one can say you're wrong. No, that's not the war. That's not the rule. So it's perfect for talk radio, but it is a little ridiculous that it's a real award. right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Who would you vote for?
I don't know enough about E.J. Henderson, so I'd have to go with Welker.
I would go with Welker, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to join Marvin Harrison.
Maybe.
Can you guys, just real quick, we don't have to go into a philosophical thing, but just give me the parameters for what you think the award is.
You have to come back.
From?
They all came back from the offseason.
I tend to think you have to...
So, in other words...
Adversity.
Okay.
It doesn't just have to be an injury.
Some adversity that sidelined you for whatever reason
the year before.
But this is why I ask, because Welker didn't miss a game.
He missed a playoff game. Three quarters and a playoff game. But I don't think that should not allow you to be eligible for the award. Because I think if you get hurt on the final play of the Super Bowl, people like Andy Hart are saying, well, Welker's out for next year.
I mean,
you don't have Welker next year.
We all know the severity of Welker's injury, so I think that makes him, you know, a candidate.
Yeah. Now the question, if that's the parameters, and I kind of agree with you, both of your parameters there. I think that's what it is. It's who had a better year, E.J. Henderson or Welker,
because
E.J. Henderson's injury was more severe than Welker's.
Was it?
A broken femur. That's the worst injury you can have.
Is it?
It's pretty bad.
I thought broken bones weren't as bad as
sometimes.
Not when it's the biggest bone in the body.
Yeah. Not the bone that's not supposed to. You know the bone that they tell you can put like a tractor trailer truck on and it won't break? When that breaks, it's bad.
Now, I think probably Welker's having a better year, so he should win it.
Plus, it's flashier. A wide receiver gets the nod on a lot of stuff, or a quarterback, because you have numbers you can point to, and, you know, E.J. Henderson, okay, is he going to have 100 tackles again, whatever?
Yeah, we got to start thinking about Wes Welker's contract, don't we?
Well, he is under contract, but yeah.
Yeah. We have to start thinking about it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mandy says, any chance
up,
you
girl?
Can wish a very happy birthday today to one of your UK Patriots faithful, Mark Ward, Manchester United Kingdom. Never misses a show, and I often hear him guffawing out loud to some of your comments. Of course, his best birthday present will be another Patriots win on Sunday night combined with a Jets loss. So happy birthday, Mark Ward.
So happy birthday.
Mark and Mandy.
Yeah, we've met them. They've been here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Let's see. Peter writes I just tuned in for today, and I'm not sure if you've heard any McCourty updates or if he is practicing any ideas.
Well, Eric will be by later with the practice update.
Okay.
Actually, Eric will be by later, and he'll have the practice update.
Andrew, in the Ukraine, with the holidays upon us, I see two presents being delivered in December. The Jets will lose out, miss the playoffs. They are an undisciplined team that knows how to enjoy the good times, but doesn't know how to ride out a tough stretch. And the Oakland pick will get better. Trust me, it won't be a top five pick like we thought, but they only have one win on the schedule left, home against Denver. When you consider that, they will win a lot of strength of schedule tiebreakers. The pick should still be at number 11 or so. Okay. You can do some damage with number 11, plus you have your own at 32.
So. And 33.
Right.
That's why I was advocating packaging those to get whatever I need.
Stripper sends us a JPEG of Clay Matthews all jacked up and wonders, was he that jacked up at USC?
No.
Why not? What do you mean?
Because he wasn't.
So he must have done a lot of lifting when he got to the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's learned strength at the pro level.
Yeah, a lot of times they learn nutrition at the NFL level.
Bill Belichick clearly thought of Clay Matthews what I did. If you read his answer, very productive in the kicking game. He thought he was a special teamer, a glorified special teamer like I did. Because he didn't come on at USC. He had, I believe, wasn't the number I said 4.5 sacks when I looked it up as a senior? Ooh, big breakout senior year with 4.5 sacks. No. I mean, and you read, what's his name? Who's the guy from the Globe, the new Globe wrote? He had the story today. Or as you said, three straight days he's written about Clay Matthews.
Greg Bedard.
Why would I want to call him Eric Bedard?
Pitcher.
Oh, yeah, Orioles.
Seattle Mariners. Oh. Orioles.
He had three executives say that there were major concerns and discussions about performance-enhancing drug use with Clay Matthews when they discussed drafting him as a prospect. So that's been on his radar for years now, three-plus years now. Same thing with Brian Cushing. Was on his radar. You look online, there's photos, comparisons, stories, chat rooms.
And, oh, by the way, a four-game suspension already.
Yeah.
Freddie, and both of them celebrates plays by flexing to the sky.
It might have been the day that you were in L.A. last week and missed the show, but Andy and I were talking. I read a small item in Sporting News by Pete Carroll talking about Clay Matthews. And one of the last things he wrote, and he didn't say it in a disparaging way, but Andy and I take it in a disparaging way.
As we are wont to do.
One of the things that's real, you know, they asked him what has surprised you the most, and he said, I'm surprised with how refined he has become as a pass rusher. In college, he always was able to beat backs and tight ends, but at the NFL level, he's beating tackles. And to me, that's a red flag. Why are you beating tackles now at the NFL level when you couldn't do it in college?
Right.
Might you be on the rocket fuel?
Yeah, I would think the tackles are a little better in the NFL.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
There's probably like one tackle he faced in the Pac-10 that is now starting the NFL,
yeah.
Whereas every week he's the best of the best tackles.
You know, unless Dom Capers has some magic,
oh, he's
technique
got magic
that he gave him, you know.
It's technique. Not to get caught.
Kevin, may I ask what's going on with the pepperoni down at the Papagino's?
We didn't. The only thing left was cheese.
May I ask?
No.
I don't know if they're cutting back on the pizza or anything, but
yeah, we might think about going a little earlier.
I could do that.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering. It's nice to have one.
I'll make a note for next week.
It's nice to have a meat offering on the pizza. Eleanor
Jimmy
writes.
Jimmy's cracking me up. I'll make a note for next week.
Eleanor writes in, "Gentlemen of the North." Paul mentioned the LSU corner Patrick Peterson the other day as a possible high draft pick. Granted, you guys don't have time to watch a lot of college games. But is there anyone else who has stood out to you as elite talent? Georgia wide receiver A.J. Green will probably be off the board by the time the Patriots pick.
He stands out.
That's an elite talent.
But I've also been impressed by Auburn defensive back Nick Fairley in the Cam Newton games I've watched. Andy, do you have an opinion about Andrew Luck yet? Who's impressed you from the college ranks?
Fairley's a defensive lineman. He's a
fairly good player?
He's a very good. He's a Warren Sapp-type defensive tackle who can penetrate and get upfield.
Oh,
he's a very good player.
Yeah. I've watched him play a little bit. He's a good player. I like Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton's going to be a pretty good NFL player. You know, the comparison I keep making is Culpepper. I think he's probably faster and more athletic than Culpepper, probably has a stronger arm and throws a better ball. The issue will be like it is with all those guys. Can they refine their passing? Can they become refined passers? Because he has the rest. I mean, his arm is as strong, I would say, as Michael Vick's, or pretty close. And he's not as fast, but he's a more powerful runner than Michael Vick. You're scared to death because when you're on the clock and you need a quarterback, you're either passing on a never-before-seen talent or you're overdrafting a guy who won't become refined enough to be great at the NFL level. It's a scary proposition when you're looking at those guys.
Your show is my favorite thing. The only criticism is that terrestrial radio usually cuts off callers before they begin to bore the audience. Kevin needs to get quicker on that trigger finger. If I have to listen to another guy named James for 10 minutes, I'm going to take my frustration out on Eric in what will likely be his only experience with a woman in 2010.
Well, that was a woman? Who said that?
Eleanor.
We have some old names. I don't know if these are all old women, but we have all these old names.
Speaking about phone
callers. They're all like first ladies.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline right now is Eldridge from North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good. What's up? Don't bore Eleanor right now.
She's got an itchy trigger finger.
I'm not going to pull Eleanor. I guarantee you that. Like I said, I'm on the road. Heard a rumor that somebody calls everybody's a Pat hater. So I told him quit drinking the Haterade. But they said something about spikes. Might be suspended for four games.
Yeah, he's been suspended for four games. He already served the first of that four-game suspension in Chicago on Sunday. So he will not be eligible to play for the team, join the team until after the regular season finale, and then he'll play in the postseason, hopefully.
Okay, how do you think Bill and Mr. Kraft view that?
I don't think they'll have a problem with it.
Well, I don't think, but I'm sure they're not happy about it.
No, not happy, but I think we talked about it last week. The issue is accountability and reliability, and they can't afford to have guys not available for four games.
Right.
You know, that's an issue. They need to know you're going to do the right things to be out there. This is his second little trip-up of his rookie season. That's not good, especially for a guy who was, you know, supposedly a captain and a natural-born leader and all these things. It's not ideal, but I think he'll be welcomed back with open arms on January 3rd or whatever the date is.
Okay. Another surprise to me is, like I said, I love my Pats, but to me, that line is blocking a heck of a lot better than it did in the last couple of years. I mean, Brady, like Captain Brady back then. I love every bit of it.
I think Brady has been is better than he was last year. I thought Brady was a little bit limited in his pocket mobility when he first came back last year and even early in this year. I think he's been better, and I thought that was always one of his great strengths pre-knee injury, and I think he's getting back to that high level. But I do think they've been pretty good this year, and I think, you know, Mankins obviously is part of that coming back from what it was earlier in the year. I thought Vollmer struggled earlier in the year but has been better of late. I think they ride the highs and lows. I think this is their MO for this line. They go through stretches of a month or 6 weeks where they're very good, and then they can struggle on any given Sunday.
Okay, one more question. The law firm, I got to take my company back. I think he is a good back. Might not have that breakaway speed, but I like what he's doing in the running game.
I agree with you, Eldridge. All right, Eldridge, thanks for the call.
All right, Eldridge. Eldridge from North Carolina. Let's see.
Let's get back to Eleanor. Did she threaten to have sex with Eric if she were angry?
No, she said she would have a confrontation with him.
Oh.
Which would be his only...
Tete-a-tete.
Anything with a woman in 2010.
That's true. Well, forget it.
Sea Dog writes in. He says, is Logan Mankins a badass or what? Do you think the Patriots will be able to sign him during the offseason? I truly feel his presence on the front line has made a huge difference in the Pats' offense. He is a beast. The way he goes after defensive linemen is ridiculous. How would you rate Benny's season? It's great to have a solid back making positive runs and holding on to the ball. If Benny is not the Pats' back of the future, which draft pick would you use to get a solid running back? Would you take a first-rounder, second-rounder? I think it just depends on who's
it's
up.
Value.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said, if you tell me the guy's great and you think he's a franchise back, I'll take him as high as I can possibly take him to get him, because I think there's great value in that. I think if you have a guy for that 6 or 8 year span where you can be the best back in football, that changes your offense. You think Brady's good now? Give him Adrian Peterson. Give him LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime and watch what Brady would do.
Jeff has a thought. He says, if your ratings are lower, perhaps it's because the Patriots are doing so well. Hear me out. As Patriots' victories add up and their play continues to improve, expectations for this team are rising and rising. Perhaps some folks have decided to eliminate some of the talk hype from their daily life to help ease the pain of a possible Super Bowl loss similar to 07.
Wow.
I know in 07 I about drank myself silly because I allowed my expectations to get the better of me and my disappointment was excruciating. However, I love your show and I love this Patriots team. I am more and more impressed with the toughness and precision of the offense. The defense is improving with every game and is able to make key stops in crucial moments. The Pats are the best quarterback and the best coach in the NFL. The players have totally bought into the Belichick system, which, as history has proved, is a winning combination. So there you go. Got to agree with that.
Well, except for the part about getting ready for a disappointing loss in the Super Bowl.
No,
believe you're going to win.
I think we're going to be, ratings are through the roof.
What's, I mean, would you rather rein yourself in and be like negative for the next two months or just deal with it
right,
when it comes?
You can't be afraid to go out on a limb when you're a fan.
Right.
Why hold it back in?
Do your little thing. Go out there, rape, pillage,
that's
kick ass.
It. That's
and
no
if
way.
It doesn't end in victory, okay, we'll deal with it
right.
then.
You
it's no way to be a fan, to just, you know, be afraid that you're going to lose. You can't be like that.
A side note, this was earlier, Paul, on the TV behind you. Did you see them clearing the snow off that Minnesota field? It's
yeah.
ridiculous.
It's like a foot and a half
it's
of
like
snow.
A foot and a half snow. They're, I mean, I know they have a decent amount of time here, but it looks ridiculous. It looks like the stadium was just deserted in a blizzard for a month and, you know, is that it again?
Yeah.
Look at this, Fred. The piles of snow they have on the field. Watch the tractors. I mean, it's just...
Wow. So what, they just let the roof totally go?
No. This
no,
is,
this is the University
oh,
of Minnesota.
Oh, this is the college.
This is where they're going to play.
Okay.
But college is done. They're not using it, so it was
right.
just abandoned.
Look at that.
Wow. That's something.
So that's field turf there. They're just pushing that all over and tractors. And
yeah.
That does no damage to have a huge front-end loader on the field turf. And seems like you could.
Oops.
Yeah, like you catch a seam and all of a sudden you don't realize it until you've pushed all the way down the field and you tore up the whole damn field.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Good.
And the most interesting Patriots fan in the world is on it, James Pettigrew. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, James.
What do I have to do for Eleanor to beat up Eric?
Bore her for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh,
stay on
it.
The line for
and,
10 minutes.
And I mean, as, when I say bore, I mean, you know, not.
I'll bring one of the donkeys.
Oh.
Yeah, we have the wagon.
Did you listen
donkeys.
Yesterday? There's a trailer
indeed.
Company. If you need to order a trailer, it's Wilson Trailers out in Iowa, I think, or somewhere.
Yeah, no way. I mean, I rented
for all your welding needs.
Yes.
I rented a U-Haul once and could not back it up and jackknifed it and... Well, it was very embarrassing.
I can drive.
I'm getting a bigger trailer.
For $100,000 a year, I'll drive your trailer around. I come cheap.
Yeah, even though you can't handle his lawnmower.
Well, I'll learn. I mean, I'll practice in a parking lot for a couple days.
And then a week later, he'll be begging me for his job back.
And I won't get my healthcare stipend.
There's no way they're leaving. Once they're there forever. That's it.
Once you get an ass, you keep it.
Damn right. Keep it in place.
You forever. Bore the hell out of it.
Do you need a blog? Do you need a blogger, James? I'll blog about how you you're moving these animals around.
There's nothing to blog about, to be honest.
Nothing
although
to blog
Alex
about.
Is,
that's perfect for me. Paul doesn't blog.
No, Alison left me. She's in England for 3 weeks, so I'm alone trying to manage the dogs, and it's slightly chaotic here.
You just kind of gave me a scare there. I thought you were going to say she left me like permanently.
That took longer than I thought.
Such luck, unfortunately.
No. Plus, there's no chance a woman's leaving a rich guy.
Well, yes. Well, she's going back to England to see what life would be like without me. So
oh, that's good. Keep her in her place. You're like Mel Gibson. You need me.
Now, James, we know that you're very well off, but can you make us one promise? When you get older, don't have your hair like Donald Trump's. Did you
Why
see?
Not? I thought it was fantastic. I thought, did you see the coverage of it blowing?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Brilliant. I might just go and get that done now.
Right.
Anyway, so I was going to ask, do you think, I don't want to bore, who was it?
Eleanor.
Don't want to bore Eleanor. So do you think at the moment we have a running game that can control a game when we're ahead or not at this point?
Yes.
Yeah, if you're ahead.
The whole four-minute drive type thing, run out of clock. Yeah.
Well, in a one-score game, no.
Like okay.
If we're up four and we have a four, and we have to throw the ball to get first downs, in my opinion. But we have a running game that with a lead in the second half, you can lean a little bit more in the running game and milk the clock, I think. But I'm if okay. it's a one-score game, I don't have a lot of faith in lining up when they know we're running. And we have to get a first down. I don't have that faith.
Like three straight runs or six straight runs? Probably not.
And that's no indictment.
But
not many teams can do that.
I'm okay with, 4 yards, 4 yards. And okay, Brady now has to convert a third and two. Maybe he's going to run. Maybe he's going to play action. I just don't think you'll run it twice and be at third and eight and you're like, oh, crap.
Do you think Mankins has made a big difference since he came back
yes.
to that aspect of the game?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Then how important is he?
I think he's going to be back. I know a lot of people don't think they're going to re-sign him. I think he's going to be back. I think it worked too easily.
But
it was so seamless.
To me, nothing's changed.
But I think they're going to give him the money. I think that's what's going to change.
I don't know. I still think Bill has a figure in his head, and I don't care what has happened or what goes on now, X, Y, Z, it's a figure, and he won't change it, really. Because I think he thought Mankins was... great. I mean, I think he believed he was one of the top two or three guards or five linemen, whatever, however you want to rank him in football.
Yeah.
And at that point, he wasn't willing to pay X. So I don't think he's surprised that Mankins has come back and been good. I think he expects that out of him when he's here.
No, what I think might have changed is what they're willing to pay him.
I don't.
And see, I have a little bit of a disagreement with you about who decides how much money it is.
Yeah, on that scheme, is it just... in terms of value, or are they thinking we can do something else with the money, or are they tight for money at the moment?
Well, with the cap, you always have to be concerned with money with the cap. But
yes,
I think that it comes down to value. It's
right.
What we're willing to pay a guard in the NFL.
I think they saw how easily and how respected he is.
Yeah,
and how easily he worked his way back into the locker room. And I think they might be willing to give him a little more money. Now, they're not going to blow him away more money. Like, they're not going to double their offer that they had. But I think they might be willing to get up to the level that he was looking for.
So you think
they've
learned something about Logan Mankins?
Because
I've learned nothing. I mean, I don't.
I haven't either.
He's the guy I thought
he was. I don't think
was.
Bill Belichick learned anything.
But that's my point.
I think that other people may have.
Who?
The Crafts.
I mean, do they covet him in terms of protecting Brady? I mean, are we going to... next year he goes, we're going to have someone else. Do you think we've done well enough protecting Brady without him or not? Because that seems to be,
it was okay.
You can't really put a dollar value on that.
Yeah, no, you're right. In the pass protect, Dan Conley did a fine job. I mean, he wasn't like Mankins has come in and made the line, impenetrable. I mean, they were doing okay without him. I think they're better with him. But here's a good point, James, that you bring up. There is going to be some transition on that offensive line. We had an Ask PFW yesterday, and a guy actually wrote in talking about it, and I followed up with him today. They have a chance to lose Mankins, obviously. You can't rely on Stephen Neal for 16 games next year. You have a very good chance of losing Matt Light next year. And who even knows, maybe Dan Copen is a guy who's, maybe here, maybe not. There's a chance that there's a big overhaul in that offensive line where Sebastian Vollmer is the only true known quantity that you have.
Yeah.
And I think that increases Mankins' value.
Yeah, and I don't know enough. What's free agency like for linemen and things like that? Is that something that, I don't know, he's coming up? And well, if they're not going to spend the money on him, I don't think they'll spend the money on anywhere else. They're definitely going to take a downgrade in talent.
Yeah, I think they would draft. I think they're going to draft linemen next year.
Yeah, they're not going to let Mankins go and then sign another guard for huge money or whatever. No.
Yeah. All righty then.
All right, James.
Yeah, Eleanor was starting to get a little bored.
We had Eleanor online too.
Give a good boring.
I hear the asses braying.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, all go right, feed guys, the asses.
Easy. All right. And don't bore Eleanor.
Thanks, James. The offensive line, I think, is an interesting off-season topic. It's not ready for not now, but in the off-season, I think that's a major.
The only thing I would add is I don't think you have any known commodities because, in all likelihood, you're moving Vollmer to left tackle. So you have zero known commodities.
If that were the case, then yeah, you're right.
Chris in Stanford says, first off, Andy, you know what could end up hurting your ratings?
Me.
You're ranting about the ratings. We're listening. Complaining to us about ratings.
You're not. I have the numbers.
It's like a teacher telling his students he's angry at the kids who skip school. We're here. Don't get your balls all scuffed up.
You're not here.
Well, you really are.
You're down 24%.
You're yelling at people who are listening. That's not good.
It's a rarity that the people are on my side, Andy. What? You're boring everybody with this whining talk about the ratings.
I think you need to do it both ways.
You're even boring Doc, and he doesn't even listen.
Who's Doc?
Why? Do we spend 3 hours talking about the good ratings?
Or do we
talk about it
nicely.
For 5 minutes and move on?
No, we pump ourselves up pretty nicely.
Except for the AK-47 show,
which did quite well.
Junior continues to talk about 3 months later.
He's an idiot.
That's
22,000.
He put it on his resume. Co-hosted AK-47. Have a
demo CD, Freddie, all ready to go.
There you go.
Don't really, do you?
No.
Yes, he does.
No.
Yes, he does.
But wouldn't I have to give approval or something on that?
If anybody listened to it.
Okay.
But I'm not like handing it out or selling it.
So you're getting the resume together and demo tapes. Interesting.
Chris says, anyway, can you all play
after you buy
Packers
Medavia,
coaches
always?
And give me a game plan for the Pats? What would you do, if anything, to make Flynn effective? Do you blitz or expect your front three and Matthews to pressure Brady? Haven't seen Green Bay play much this year, and I don't think their last loss is indicative of that team. Thanks, guys. I'll keep listening, especially if Andy's by later.
I will be by later. I'm always by. I come by to start the show. I would get after. Yeah, I would be aggressive. I think they have the corners to do it with Woodson and that other guy that everybody says is having a great year.
Tremont Williams.
You have a good pass rusher in Matthews, but I would definitely be aggressive with Brady. I'm not going to sit back and let him pick me apart.
I think that you have to be physical with the receivers, and you have to get after the quarterback. Otherwise, you are doomed. When the offense is playing like this, when the offense has its timing down and the rhythm is down, you can't rely on Tom Brady to not be perfect.
Well,
because
they do
he's
have
proven
one guy
times.
On that team that can cover, Charles.
They have good corners.
Yeah, they have good corners.
They have two good corners, though. You probably need four.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you can't just put a linebacker on Danny Woodhead and expect to live and tell about it. You can't just line up with a safety on the tight ends and expect to get away with it.
Right.
They have matchup nightmares.
You have to mix it up. And I know it's hard to do, and I know he's smart, but you can't not try to mix it up and confuse him and disguise things. You still have to try. He's good, yeah. He's seen a lot of things, and he does a lot of tape, but you still got to try.
It's very easy.
How much does Dom Capers bring? Any knowledge?
I think he brings a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting listening to Bill talk about that. Did you hear his answer on that question?
No.
With Capers, how much he felt like he learned from Capers that year, and he said he feels that Dom probably learned a lot as well. Talking specifically about the 3-4 schemes that they believe in, which are very different, and how much Bill said he learned from the Pittsburgh 3-4, because that's Capers' 3-4, right. Is Dick LeBeau's. and the other way around, and how Capers felt like he learned a lot because it's a whole, you know, the whole different way of, yeah. of doing things.
He didn't learn the pass rush, though.
We
haven't seen a lot of
breaking news
pass
from
rush.
Strippers.
Oh, no, no.
Breaking news from strippers. UMass is likely to head to the MAC for 2013. The MAC visited Mass campus, Angelette Stadium. Teams would be transitional for 2 years.
For one, strippers is not exactly breaking news.
No. Yeah, that happened a while ago.
That's about a month old.
Yeah.
As a UMass grad, I'm proud of that announcement.
You disappointed to not be in the Big East?
Well, I think you have to go to a place like the MAC first before you get into the Big East, as much as the Big East sucks. But to get into an automatic BCS qualifying conference, I think you need to make a stop in a conference like the MAC.
Probably makes sense.
Alex from Georgia. Hey, guys, and Andy. I'll explain later. Great win for the Patriots this weekend.
He's high all the time.
Great win for the Patriots this weekend. I thought they did really well other than not scoring touchdowns in the red zone, but overall it was a great performance. Now on to Andy. How in the world do you not know Ace Frehley or Kiss for that matter? You call yourself a guy.
Everyone knows
the band Kiss. Then on that same show, you said you don't like guys in makeup, but you always talk about Lady Gaga. I think I will no longer pick on Tubby and now have to direct it to you, Big Head. And then
wait, which guy is this?
Bledsoe's Alex from Georgia.
The guy in Georgia is going off me and on to you?
And then you picked the Bears to win. How did that work out for you? Bad week, huh?
You win some, you lose some.
Anyway, I got married this past Thursday.
Hey.
Was so glad that it happened after the Patriots destroyed the Jets, and then got to see them pound the Bears. So that's a good weekend to get married. Good week to get married. And notice he had it on a Thursday, too. So
he didn't have to miss the game.
That's right.
The best way to go about it is just to rip Andy and me every show. That's what everybody else does.
Boy, that Kiss thing really has a life.
Well, it's astounding to me that you would not have heard of that.
I didn't know the guy's name. But I knew who Kiss was. I knew they were relatively big.
You know Mozart. Have you heard of Mozart?
Are you now equating Mozart to Kiss?
He was before
and
your
the Bible
time.
To Star Wars.
You know? Well, yes.
I've said this before. I think music is overrated. I'm not into music. I've never been into music.
You know
at all.
I'm not either.
And
music
whole analysis,
is overrated.
Yes.
I don't.
That's quite a statement.
I don't think it's overrated.
In what
but
way?
It just is.
It's not as musical as people say it is. I don't understand that.
Like, the passion that people have for music, I just don't understand. I just don't get it.
It's like when you go to a movie.
What do you have a passion for?
Life.
No, seriously.
Life.
What part of life do you have a passion
family,
for?
Family. Friends. And I have passion
you
for
You have
sports.
No friends.
I have plenty of friends.
Your family hates you.
My family loves me. And sports. I can
like
see
this.
Sports. I've said this in the past, like, concerts I find so overrated, you know what you're going to get.
So you can't understand how you would have a passion for sports and someone else would have a passion for music?
I get people
like
it.
Are you that narrow?
A little bit.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Sports,
I mean, even Eric
changes, and there's such a competition going on, and you never know what you're going to see whenever you watch a sporting event.
See,
when I watch music, I know what I'm going to see.
I'm about 90% on board with him. I completely understand why other people find enjoyment in it.
I enjoy music, but I just flip it on and go, I kind of like how
but
that sounds.
I am not a concert. I don't go to concerts for the exact reason that he's talking about. Like, it just doesn't excite me to go see. Like, I don't appreciate the music
but
live.
But you can understand
like, the
why
production
people
of
would.
The yeah, sure.
Right. Same way people.
To me, I don't care.
There's a lot of people out there that I don't understand how you would sit in front of a TV and watch a college football
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have a lot of people. Right. I have a lot of friends, right. really good friends, that love sports that don't understand how I could possibly spend an entire Sunday watching the NFL.
Right.
And they're sports fans.
Right.
But they just don't understand why you would waste a day.
I don't get the whole, he's a lyrical genius and the depth of
that's
his
what
music.
I don't get. It's the same thing when I watch movies.
Hardcore, indie-style music. And
when I watch
does
movies,
does it sound
Fred,
good or does it not sound good?
Do you go to a movie and watch it for the entertainment value and just kind of the story or whatever? Or are you, like, blown away by the performances? Like, what an actor he is.
I think it's a package for me.
Like, I don't, I was a serious question.
I'm being serious, too.
Now, we'll probably get to the bottom of this now with the Renaissance man who just walked
and
in.
And my other issue is people that would
that wasn't even a shot.
They would hear a Britney Spears song and know it's her and say, that's garbage. It's Britney Spears pop commercialized music.
But
I don't
was,
care
if,
who
if,
sings anything.
But
do
if
I
it was
like
the
it?
Same exact song right. and Aretha Franklin was singing it would be
great.
Genius.
They have this snobbery and this preconceived notion of what people can and can't be and what is good music and what is bad music. But to me, flick it on, close your eyes. Do you like it? Okay, then it's good music. Then if you don't, you don't. It's bad music for you.
But you can then go into a sporting event and dissect whether or not that was a great performance by a player, whether a team actually played well or got, you know, you can do the dissection for sport because you understand sports,
right,
and you appreciate it a lot more than music.
Right.
It's just that simple.
But that would be like me going to a Patriots game and saying everything's great because it comes from Bill Belichick, and going to a Panthers game and saying everything sucks because it's done by the Panthers. I can appreciate a great
play
from Panthers.
And you would poo-poo that.
What?
You would poo-poo that.
I would say I could see greatness at a Panthers game, an individual play or a performance.
Someone who looks at it that simplistically, you would scoff at.
Right.
Right, so don't scoff at the people who want to get...
I think they're looking at it simplistically when they go in with a closed mind.
Yeah, and my point is, for the same reasons you enjoy sports, people enjoy music. And I think they're both equal.
There's no competition in music.
Yeah, like I said, I'm probably about 90% on board with
that. That's one of the reasons why you enjoy sports, because of competition.
Right, and the unknown nature of it.
That's an element of it that you like.
Seeing something different all the time. And I've said this in the past. You know, I think some of those things they do on award shows are cool, when they put Elton John with Eminem. To me, that's cool, because you're not seeing that. You know, Eminem goes to 38 cities a year. You're not seeing that. You can't see that. That's, you know, once in a lifetime or a couple times ever.
Did you say there's no competition in music?
Yeah.
That's inaccurate.
Okay,
there's,
go ahead.
There's competition for the right to record songs. Certain songwriters have developed a reputation where they can write hit songs.
Right.
And artists compete to record those songs. Not any artist can't just record
business.
Any old
I'm
song.
I'm talking about when you're...
Well, that's competition, though.
When you're seeing a concert...
You don't think the music industry is competitive?
Oh, I do.
All right. So there you go.
But there's competition in everything.
But you don't...
The food industry is competitive.
Wait a minute.
Restaurants are competitive,
right,
but it's different.
But you don't get the
head-to-head competition.
As a fan of music, you don't watch the competition.
Right.
You don't listen to music for the competition.
Right.
Right.
You don't get to see it.
You enjoy music for different reasons than you do sports.
If you're hearing somebody, they've won the competition
already.
They're
different.
Right.
This is what we're talking about, Eric.
How did this get started?
I don't know.
Because that Kiss thing that I didn't know
someone
the name
got mad
of the drummer
for
Kiss.
Not knowing who,
it was the same old
was.
Thing.
Jay Feely
someone
or
made
Chuck
fun
Feely
of Andy, and he's lashing out.
Feely.
Oh, wow.
Jay Feely.
Anyway, Eric's here with the practice report.
Yeah, it is biting cold out there.
Okay, thanks for the report. No, who's not there?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady not there.
Nope.
Back to his Wednesday off schedule.
Right.
He's picking out a new scuba suit.
Devin McCourty. And pretty much the entire defensive line: Myron Pryor, Gerard Warren, Ron Brace, Mike Wright. So we got six total missing.
Vince is there. I'm good.
So two that were out of the game on Sunday, and two that got hurt in the game on Sunday.
Right.
Because Warren got banged up and missed most of the first half. Came back in the second.
Came back in the second, but yeah, you're right. And he spoke today. I got some quotes from Gerard Warren.
Big money?
So, from Big Money.
Did he say, "I'm going to break your bleeping arm"?
How was his beard?
Still in effect.
He's
not
a
quite,
nice man.
Not quite in full effect like Matt Light's beard, but that thing's got
to
go.
Not quite willing to go that far.
Well, I've had some
interesting.
Nice conversations
I've had some
with
great
him.
Conversations with him. Scares
I don't
me.
Fear him. Oh, I don't fear
Scares
him at
me.
All. Not the least.
Who, Matt Light?
No.
Oh,
no.
Big money.
Big money.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you know who that is? Oh.
So out on the lower fields where the Revs usually train, that's where they were again, three black shirts. Because I know Andy loves this part.
Oh, I saw the belt, and it was in
Ross
the Ray Ventrone era. I mean,
Ross
Ventrone area.
The belt.
Okay.
You might as well just give it to him all year. He's held on to it for like a month now.
As he will for the next 2 years.
Ryan Wendell.
When his practice squad eligibility is up, we'll get rid of him.
Wendell, Eric Moore.
That's
who
pretty
else?
Impressive.
Hoyer again, and Slater again.
Hoyer.
So Hoyer playing the role of Jay Cutler. Got himself a shirt.
So he threw slick balls all around
so
the field.
So he went to a sporting goods store, bought brand new footballs, and threw them to the wrong
I like
team.
The lacquer on these.
Yeah.
Do they really have lacquer on them?
Well, there's a sheen.
There's a sheen.
To it.
But they don't. Isn't that natural, or do they add a chemical substance?
Oh,
I think they add a chemical substance.
Yeah, I think
really?
There's a preserver
strippers,
there.
Could you tell me what the oil-based lacquer is they use on NFL footballs?
Yeah. Eric, where'd you go?
Lacquer?
What are you doing?
I'm doing what I always do.
He
I'm writing my
computer
update.
In. What is your problem?
He's coming by.
We're waiting for the report. You're walking
now,
all over the studio.
He gave you the report.
They were in shells.
Okay.
Wait, let's get back to Eric Moore for a minute. That's pretty impressive. He's been here like a week, and he's impacting on the practice field,
right.
Learning the defense and getting on the field and impacting games
exactly,
on the field.
Exactly, exactly.
That's well done by him. He's
by
a
the,
professional.
I got your... I got two questions
leagues.
In for you on Jimmy.
So you get the
first one
the
was
solid.
What are you talking about?
No, no. It was. I got a better answer than what I got from you for you when I had to ask your question a couple of weeks ago. But
because you got, what are you talking? Oh,
the
no,
first,
that was
the first one was sort of a generic safeties in general
answer.
So I followed up and got more specific with Sanders, and he gave me a Sanders specific one about.
Nice.
So
I was gonna tell you to say Paul wanted to know at the beginning.
I almost can't be here.
Paul wanted me to ask you this, so.
So don't yell at
yell at me.
Because you hate me.
What else, Eric? Any? Is that it?
Yeah, flurries, 20 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to snow Sunday.
A little breezy. It's going to snow again Sunday, supposedly.
We haven't talked about that.
Well, I did at the beginning, before you guys got here, a possible snow, early forecast.
The percentage seems to be growing every time I hear it, though.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a growing problem.
Yeah. Snow Max?
Certainly for Max Flynn.
Oh,
you like that.
Yeah.
Snow That was very good.
Good. Yeah.
But I'm not sure Matt Flynn has
better than Monster
too many
Mash?
Snow games
better
in his
than
career.
Monster Mash.
LSU.
All right, so that's the practice report.
Brought to you by Snow Max.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we throw that out? What time is it?
It's
1:30. It's 10:40.
1:30.
Real quick, send a couple of emails in.
Who?
The cover words for this past issue, we played the Chicago Bears in Chicago. We killed them. We called it Monster Mash.
Monster Mash.
And we particularly killed the defense.
Thoughts, opinions, whatever. Just real quick, did you like it? Do you not get it? Do you get it? Anything?
What do you think of that?
What do you think of it?
Okay.
I think of Halloween.
Don't
we didn't
lead
ask
the witness.
You.
And you're leading the witnesses.
Eric with the CK says, what does music is overrated even mean?
You said that?
Yeah. No, you're an idiot.
Yeah, see, I understand what his point is, but he goes too far.
Well, I would actually take it a step further to offend you, Eric, and say all of the arts are overrated.
Oh, you would offend me.
Yeah, see, you people that say things like that,
you just Todd Haley'd them.
They don't understand what life would be like without it.
You just Todd Haley'd them. You pointed, you whacked your finger at him.
I did. I wagged my finger at him.
Chastising.
Yeah, I think I would do okay.
Yeah.
I go by the simple rule on all those things. For food, does it taste good? Yes, it does. Okay, that's good food. Music, does it sound good? Yes. Okay, it entertains me, makes me feel good. Good music. I look at it. Does that look good? Is it cool? Okay, that's good art.
None of the analysis of the post-apocalyptic blah, 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 blah.
It's like Moby Dick. Everybody thinks that's the greatest book ever written. Had a long conversation with Steve Buckley, who is a very well-educated, worldly man, who said, has anyone ever read that? Because it's terrible. It's just, you can't read it. It's horrible. And that's great literature, correct?
Well, at the time, Herman Melville was, you know, American literature was in its
on
infancy.
Crack.
So he was one of the, you know, guys writing big stuff for America back then. You know, like Nathaniel Hawthorne.
That's great.
You know, the Scarlet Letter.
The Scarlet Letter is 10,000 times better than
Scarlet
Moby Dick.
Scarlet Letter's a good book.
It is a good book because
Edgar Allan Poe is 10 million times better.
You know,
you're entertained. You like it. You leave it and you say, you know what? That was kind of cool.
I like the Scarlet Letter.
You leave Moby Dick saying either, boy, am I glad I flipped through those 300 pages on whaling, or that was terrible.
Well, all right.
It is what it is.
I
snobbery takes over. That's the problem.
I don't think you can overrate
pseudo-intellects like some people.
Yeah, see, I don't go with the overrate thing.
I look like one of those cats right now with my eyes pointing at Eric.
But I just like it for the enjoyment. I'm kind of with Andy on that. It doesn't move me the way it moves other
whatever.
People.
Whatever.
Unless it's porn.
As long as
Because good porn moves
Then
you.
It moves.
Well, that's the beauty of it is that people, everyone can enjoy it at a different level.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't align myself completely with Andy, but I know what his point is, and I tend to agree with the larger point.
Too many pseudo-intellects. They let other people tell them what they should be enjoying and why they should be enjoying it, rather than just going in with blinders and saying, do I like, do I not like?
And is there anything worse than the whole literature class where you have to go through all of these, all the symbolism of everything? Yeah. I mean, you can't just read the book and like it or not. You have to.
And sometimes the symbolism
break down
is
all
key
the
to liking it.
But I think if you're into that, you get a deeper appreciation for it.
I think you look too deep and you find things that aren't really there.
For example, I was reading today a thing about one of the churches in England and, you know, about the precision of the architecture and how every little thing in there, even down to the art, was positioned in a certain way, you know, and wow, I didn't realize all that, all the angles of it. And it's really cool stuff. I wouldn't have known that by just looking at it. I would say, oh, this is nice. But
no, but if it's great, you would
have. Now I have a deeper appreciation.
If it was truly great, you would have.
No,
you wouldn't have known you were doing it,
because
but you would have said,
right. But you don't
this
know
is
why.
All pretty cool.
But now I know. Now I know that there's certain elements that were actually thought about when they built this.
If they were, or if they said later, you know what? We should tell people we did this, this, and this.
So you're just going to be an ass. Is basically what you're going to do.
Am I starting now, or did I start 8 years
no,
ago?
No, you haven't. I shouldn't be surprised. Ago.
Is that all it's been? You're only 8 years. Well, you are only.
It's very disappointing that after all these years, you haven't learned.
I've learned
to mature at all.
Maturing.
See, that's how I feel
boring.
About myself, Fred.
Yeah.
Why?
Just what you just.
You
said.
You want to be one of these frauds?
Why?
Or do you want
to
be you?
This gets back to the Jay Cutler thing. That's the way he wants it. Just because you think it's stupid doesn't make it wrong for him.
It's wrong. He wants lacquer on the ball in the snow.
Joe from Merrimack says it's a great time to be a Patriots fan. First off, Andy, get off the ledge. We're still here, and as long as you guys broadcast, we'll be here. Now, having said that, Fred, please don't let those two do shows on their own. Too many moments of awkward silence, and it just doesn't work without you. No offense, guys, but if this were the Andy and Paul show, I don't think it would have lasted very long.
I doubt that very much.
There were no moments of awkward silence.
Here we go.
So moments of awkward eating.
Yes.
Well, that's very hard for two people to eat and, you know,
hold a conversation.
Still have a show, yeah.
Okay, on to the Pats. I was listening to Mayock
suck it
and
down
Baldinger.
Like Fred does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that I didn't want to be talking while eating the normal host does.
I don't have the throat. I've not developed the anti-gag reflex to just suck down slices of pizza like Fred does. He doesn't chew them. He sucks.
Oh, sorry.
And then burps, yeah, because when he sucks, he swallows a lot of air.
I don't think it would. Let's see. Where was
is
that?
Damn right,
here?
I'm defensive.
I'm writing my update.
I was in the Globe this week. Were you?
All right. I was listening to Mayock and Baldinger. Oh, you didn't giggle. He had in parentheses Andy giggles.
Wow.
Analyzed the Pats Bears game on Playbook, and it was interesting how they were saying that many of the Patriots' plays seem to have been designed with the weather in mind, while conversely, the Bears seem to be playing as if it were a normal day. Baldinger specifically seemed to be vexed that the Bears' safety spent most of the game guarding the deep snow. Now, as for Green Bay, I'm not really that worried. First, they are one-dimensional, which makes Belichick's job much easier. Second, if Rodgers plays, he's only a shot or two from a third concussion. Granted, they have a good defense, but the
That'll
Pats
be all right, then.
Have shown on numerous occasions this year what they can accomplish against a good defense. Anyway, keep up the great show, and we'll all be listening. Yeah, I mean, and the Mayock and Baldinger. I mean, Mayock's pretty good at breaking down film, but, you know, I think the Patriots are the team that acted like it wasn't snowing.
See, I
that's
total,
because their
I
offense
totally agree with you.
Is okay in that condition.
I would make that comment about the safeties playing against the Patriots every game.
Yeah.
They guard deep green, usually, because once or twice a game they're going to run a guy downfield. Well, the rest of the game, Welker and Branch are going to be cutting across the middle. Branch on deep in cuts and Welker on short underneath stuff and bubble screens. And then you have your, you know, your typical stuff with Woodhead and occasionally a down the seamer for a tight end.
G-Force.
Right?
Sure.
I think that the safeties in the two deep look is a waste of time against the Patriots. They're not really defending anything.
Earlier we were talking about what should be the criteria or what is the criteria for comeback player of the year. Strippers writes in from wherever he gets his information.
Google.
The player named Comeback Player of the Year shows perseverance in overcoming adversity in the form of not being in the NFL the previous year, a severe injury, or simply poor performance.
Oh, wow.
So poor performance. So you can come back from sucking. That's
right.
That was my age-old argument.
That's awful.
Yeah.
What's he coming back from? Sucking? Yeah, evidently you can.
And also, Michael says, I know this award stinks because there's no clear understanding of what it means. Just want to weigh in that the award to me means the player who made the biggest comeback. you look at players like Kurt Warner, who hit a career slump slash lost a starting job, then made a comeback. I'd say Vic meets the criteria, even if it was his own fault. While I like Welker, he never really missed playing time. There was really no drop-off or improvement from his performance last year.
There was a drop-off early in the year. He wasn't himself.
It's
so you're not allowed to overcome
I think Vic absolutely qualifies for coming back from adversity, but last year.
Right.
You know, if Welker didn't do it this year and he had the great year next year, would that be comeback player of the year because he tore his ACL in 2009?
And plus, I mean, what's so you have to miss
Like Teddy Bruschi missed 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough. And he wins it. But Welker didn't miss enough time, even though he was on the field, but not he wasn't really himself, and now he's good. Like,
yeah, see, I think Welker definitely qualifies.
So
and
but
I
why
think
do
he
you penalize a guy for his remarkable return?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
So he didn't miss. He was on the field for the first week, so he can't win comeback player. I mean, even though he's been right, the entire offseason defying all these doctors' odds.
Henderson got hurt late in the year, too.
Right.
He only missed the last couple of weeks, right? I don't know. I just think it's such an ambiguous award. It needs to go away.
Brian,
it's like music.
Brian in Farmington makes a good point. He's wondering if arguments like the one about music are the reason the ratings are in the
Could be. Could be.
See, I would argue that that's the reason why the ratings were as high as they ever were.
And have grown throughout the offseason for 2 years straight.
Because we can't just sit here and talk about, you know, geez, Patriots going to win this week, you know, 2 hours every day.
By the way, if Flinney plays, they're not one-dimensional. They're no-dimensional.
They're no-dimensional.
On offense.
So Paul asked people to email in about Monster Mash, and yes. Here we go. A lot of people did. Tracy in Vegas says one word, Halloween.
Okay.
Paul in Durham, North Carolina says, sorry, guys, don't get it.
Okay.
Derek in from University of Arizona says Monster Mash is as gay as Collins would say, but you guys are all gay anyhow. That's not nice.
What's Collins?
I look at that as a compliment.
That's what his answer is too.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's gay.
And,
if you try things in the stadium, that's gay.
Oh, I see.
Todd says, are Bears monsters? I don't get it. Later.
Apparently no one knows the Monsters of the Midway.
Monsters of the Midway is the
Elliot says,
and specifically their defense too.
Elliot
Monsters
said,
of the Midway, and you dominated their defense. That was the thing.
Elliot says, I understand it, Monsters of the Midway,
just
but I also
like
went to high school in Chicago, and I think the line may have gone over some heads.
Yeah. So all only our intelligent, astute readers got it. And those three didn't even like it.
James Pettigrew, the most interesting fan in the world, Patriots fan in the world, says, Midway Massacre should have been the title.
Does he drink Dos Equis?
Midway Massacre, that's it's not terrible.
That would have worked.
So there's some people.
Whose was this? Yours?
I don't know, was it?
Yeah.
Or yours? No. What was one of
yours? Oh, he would be singing a different tune if everybody was like, best cover ever.
There's no question
about
that.
It was yours. It was mine. I'm not afraid to try and fail.
Stephen Albany says.
See, I don't think it was a failure, but.
Apparently it was.
Evidently people didn't get it.
You have no idea what a failure is.
I should never go against my
You've had some of the worst covers in history.
Do something else.
The one you originally came up with I thought was the best one of the bunch.
Which was what?
Bury the Bears. Because it harkens back to 85. It showed that it was cold.
I don't want to do anything that reminds us of the most humiliating moment of our franchise.
Well, that's a good point.
That's why I didn't like anything. Any of the Bury the Bears stuff I didn't like at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We lost 46-10, and I lost $100.
There goes that retirement.
Stephen Albany says about Monster Mash, I don't get it. We went on the road in mid-December and beat a team in the snow. Who's the monster? The Bears?
The That's monsters of the Midway.
And Mash? Is that
you
just to be cliche?
You don't have to get mad at people that don't get it.
But then again, I'm not a professional. So.
And you're not very
It was
well
playing off
in
of
football.
The Monsters of the Midway. You
Lingo.
Don't have to read anymore. You,
we get it. We
Fred,
sucked.
You were right.
No, Fred, you weren't right.
Because
you let it
wrong.
Go.
Well,
you're the editor-in-chief. If you think it sucks, you got to stop
Sometimes
it.
And I'll tell you
I
how
feel
it went.
You guys have to learn the hard way.
Everything was
well,
done.
When are you going to learn the hard way, bad kitty?
Can you ever learn the hard way?
Well, I've done 500 covers, so I think I'm allowed to have two or three
Pats versus
ones.
Pirates?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That
Winner!
Was a good one.
No, it wasn't. Pat scratch cats backs, cats back.
Come on, we've all had our share. Except for me, because I never come up with any.
That's
according,
true.
According to you.
Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and huge D-bag. Okay, I'm letting it out.
Is that me?
I am a music teacher and a football coach. It is my competitive nature that drives my
music teacher and a football coach.
The
that's
expert
that's it.
Witness
that's
on
it.
The
we
topic.
We have everything here at
right.
PFW in progress.
It is my competitive nature that drives my music students to do their best. When we go to a festival or a contest, it is all about being the best choir there. I think you are an idiot to think that music is not competitive. Artists are competing all the time, not only for the rights to songs, but for the popularity of the music so they can make money. You can say it's a business, but isn't football a business? We hear these athletes talk about it being a business all the time. D-bag, maybe your de-emphasis of music is what makes you so cold-hearted. Spend some time to get some culture in your life, you imbecile.
I agree.
I don't want to be cultured.
No, I still say the competition is different, though. You don't watch the competition in music.
Right.
The
you
competition
do if it's a
is
band competition.
All right. I'm talking about if you are listening to the radio or at a concert, you're not watching competition. When you are watching a game on TV or at the stadium, you're seeing the competition unfold.
Right. For the spectator, you're right. For the participant, it's good to have as much competitive fire in your belly as a musician as it is for an athlete.
Right. Yes. And that is even just with yourself. To get better the next time you
play
the same song.
That's all competition.
It's practice.
Right. I agree with that. But that's the same with virtually anything.
It's all competition for any artist of anything. I mean, actors had to compete for the role. I mean, it's all kinds of competition. You just don't get to watch the competition.
Exactly. You just see the results.
And we do now, sort of. I mean,
you see the
American Idol and some of these dance shows have tried to bring that. And I think that's why they're successful.
They're popular.
Look, it's different.
I think if Paul's right, if you saw, you know, they were going to have the part for Batman 8, and you saw the competition for the roles, I think you'd be interested.
But
that guy's way better.
But again,
he's Batman. I believe him.
That's the great thing about art, is that it appeals to everybody in a different way.
Sure.
You know, that's the great thing about it.
Sure.
Shaheen from LA,
but he's still working for his.
You know the one difference that I do agree with.
He comes to the show. He doesn't. He just.
I'm writing.
I know, but
I'm trying to get my update up.
It's
for timely.
Time.
Do you know what I do? I do agree with Andy on is there's too many. There's too much in the arts that people tell you what's good. You know, like in sports, you don't need people to say, "Oh, this guy, you know, that team's good." Like, you know, you watch and you can. You don't need anybody else to tell
you. But you're the initiated. Like, for the uninitiated, they do need somebody like you to tell them why, you know,
No.
Tom Brady might be better than Jay Cutler.
No, my point is, whether you're initiated or not, to use your word, you know, if I like football, the NFL is the best. I don't need anybody to tell me the NFL is the best.
Right.
I don't need an expert to say they're the best.
Right.
But, you know, maybe Andy and I are a little bit defensive on this.
You're
because
sports snob.
No, well, I definitely am. But maybe Andy and I are defensive on the whole music thing because we like a style of music that you get
well,
made
you like
fun 80s of for
dance music.
Right, I like dance music. Period.
Right.
But you get made fun of for liking it.
Wouldn't you have loved to see Paul dancing back
just
then?
Just had a mental image, like a TV show with a flashback.
I
Paul's
never
doing the part, but they put a wig on him.
Right.
I was never
like
a huge,
the King of Queens or something.
Yeah. I was never a huge dancer. But I love that's the kind of music I like.
Don't lie to me.
And I spent my whole life getting criticized.
Don't
for
tell
it,
me
made
you
fun
didn't
of.
Dance. At
How
the
can
clubs?
You like that crap?
That's
that bubblegum
my point.
Music. I mean, that's why Andy and I feel the way we do.
You're scarred.
Yeah, maybe it was more emotionally.
Right. Shaheen from L.A. says, "Hey, girls and Fred, Paul, Andy, what do you think about Sunday's game? Regarding, do you think it's going to be competitive?"
No.
There's that word again. I think with
not if Rodgers doesn't play.
With or without Rodgers, I don't really see the Pack coming to Gillette and beating the Patriots on a big stage. What do you think?
And plus, it's going to snow.
I agree. I don't
It snows in Green Bay, too. So
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The Patriots play in snow, they win.
If the Packers were at full strength, I don't care what the weather would be. I think they would be
able
to compete.
Well, I'd be picking the Patriots either
absolutely.
Way.
Yeah, because I just don't think the Packers are at full strength. They have a million guys
up. Does this
team
have a number, or is it off the board? Or
I don't know. I haven't looked.
5-4.
I agree with the emailer. I don't see Green Bay coming here and winning.
543-7482. 508 area code is the ace ticket hotline. And Eleanor's right. There are a lot of James people that write in. James,
there's not a lot of Eleanors.
James from
that
Pittsburgh.
That name went out 70 years ago.
James from Pittsburgh's on the line. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you guys going?
Jimmy.
Hey, you know, you're right, though. There are a lot of Jameses and Mike. I think those are the two most popular names.
So do you see that in general in your life? That
and do you
everywhere
Eleanor?
You go that there are a lot of Jameses? Does it bother you that you have a cliche name?
No, I'm fine with it. Actually, I'm very surprised.
Andy named his son Jackson. He's very cutting edge.
Actually, listen to this show. It shows that there's maybe a little bit of intelligence in there.
Yes.
In that name.
Yes.
Hey, I'm in the music industry.
Uh-oh.
And I actually a Grammy-winning band. I can't tell you who they are because I have a non-disclosure with them.
Oh, come on. We want to know. Say that we talked to somebody.
You know them.
Give
They're
us a
from
hint.
Texas.
They're
from Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
And they do Texas blues. It's three guys.
Got
a Grammy-winning hit about 10 years ago.
ZZ Top?
No, but around the same area.
Okay.
It's actually, they're out of Lubbock, but they're considered a Central Texas band.
I'll find out.
Eric, can you tell us?
Google.
Anyhow,
why are you going to even worry? What
I was calling about is that, you know what, I've been in this business for 20-something years, and I agree with Paul and Andy that, you know, all the details suck the fun out of music. You know, so it's really, you know, it's when I set up a show, I'm really looking for how to get the most number of people to enjoy what it is without having to be educated with the behind the scenes, blah, 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 blah. Just like when we watch Patriots, you know, when I started watching them back in 82 or something, I didn't know anything about football. Watched them and just, you know, just from the fun of people cheering and seeing the touchdowns and stuff, you enjoy that. Obviously, the longer you spend in there, if it's something for you, you get a little bit more detail-oriented. But again, the detail-oriented people drive the generalists nuts.
Right.
With all those little details.
Right.
And,
yes, absolutely.
You know, I watch baseball, and I sent an email just a few minutes
right.
ago. I sit there and watch a baseball game. My wife will go with me, and I can't stand. I don't even write her anymore because she texts. She's getting food, whatever, and I'm looking at, you know, how's the guy holding the ball and what pitch is coming up next.
Yep.
And, you know, and so to me, it drives me nuts that she doesn't care. And then vice versa, she thinks that I'm too obsessive with it. And so, you know, those two audiences have a hard time kind of blending. So, when I hear people say something that I think is dumb from a musical standpoint, when they go, well, you know, this person didn't sound good, or maybe it's because of their popularity, or maybe because they wore a meat dress or something like that.
Right.
I don't think of that as music. That's a novelty thing to kind of to get attention. But at the same time, I look at it from their perspective. It's the people like Andy and Paul that we're trying to sell to.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, the real nitty-gritty people. In fact, I bet you in Gillette Stadium, and I've only been once, never for a game, but I bet you the majority of the people who go there just know football on a general basis. That the really nitpicky type people sit at home watching it on the television and...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Betting on it.
Yeah.
Probably.
So that's my two cents, guys.
All right,
James.
Hey, you know what? That's awesome.
So the expert agrees with us.
To a degree.
That's how I boiled that
down. To a degree. I think he made both points pretty well. More stuff. Just want to get him out because we called for it. James from Polk County, Florida. Another James. Monster Mash. I like it, but it sounds like you beat them in the 80s. They're not the monsters of the Midway anymore. How about Feeble Bears Take a Mauling?
Well, the Barry the Bear certainly would have been
right
in the 80s.
True. Let's see. Joel says... was it Monster Mash or Monsters Mashed? The first one is okay, but kind of blah. The second is better. I thought about that.
You know what? I did too. I left it as is, and I figured you would change it if you thought.
Yeah.
I was thinking
you can't do that. I learned that with Gay Escort.
Monsters Mashed. Monsters Mashed.
Yeah. That would have made a little more sense.
Derek says...
you guys got a lot of ideas after the what did they say? Horse is out of the barn?
We gave him a half dozen or more, and he shot them all down.
Right, and because of that, that was the very last thing that I did before I left. The cover wasn't filled in, and I just put the words in, and I left, and I said, he'll pick
screw
it.
Screw him.
Right. He'll pick it.
Derek comes clean. He says, I really did like the title. I was just being funny.
Well, thank you, Derek. It's really come around the other way
now.
Well,
yeah, worm's starting to turn a little bit.
Music is overrated, and the cover was good.
Another
PFW progress.
No further questions.
Ian in Maryland says, how about the Beast of the East ate the Monsters of the Midway?
Well, we have this rule against sentences on the cover. We try to keep them catchy.
Yeah. Stephen Albany.
We have this rule against sentences on the
Eric
cover.
Learned that rule once.
Stephen Albany says,
when we let him fill in the cover, and he was like, how do you hit return and do a new paragraph?
Stephen Albany says, thanks, Paul. When you're at a concert, this is Paul's quote, when you're at a concert or listening on the radio, you aren't seeing the competition. When you're at the game, you see the competition. Thanks, Paul, for explaining to us the definition of a sport. Come on, seriously?
I don't know, but it's funny when they get mad at you. I don't get it.
It is kind of true.
No, you
that's
say,
what, that's
you
what
said
sports are.
But you said there's plenty of competition in music.
Right. There is.
And
it's
I was trying to point
way.
Out how right. different it is.
There's competition in everything in a, quote, different way.
Right.
That was a direct contradiction to what you were saying, by the way.
And I also don't necessarily equate the competition for money with the competition I'm talking about. Like, Eric's competing for money with his art. Because there's only so many people that care enough to spend X amount of dollars on types of things.
Mm-hmm.
He's competing for money, but you can't measure it directly, the art competing.
Right.
The money is the barometer of how you measure the competition.
And if he's competing directly with other artists, it doesn't matter how much better. You could win that competition hands down. It doesn't matter if someone doesn't buy your stuff.
Right. If the person spending the money doesn't for whatever reason like your particular style, you're going to lose.
You know, unless we're talking football, about college football and it's someone just arbitrarily decides who plays in the national championship game, if you win, you win.
But even that, I'm just saying.
That's
like,
another one for you, Stephen Albany. You win.
Man-on-man competition, it unfolds right before you. Every play, every snap, every shot.
Andy said man-on-man. Eric says,
you don't like it, do you? You don't like it, do you?
Trying to have a serious football music discussion slash art discussion.
What about American Idol? Those
types. Well, that's what I said, and those are popular.
And you missed Moby Dick Talk, by the way.
I think they're popular because of the competition. You're bringing the two together.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, if you could show auditions for movie parts, competing for roles. Yeah. I think people are intrigued by competition.
Absolutely.
And their ability to judge, I don't care what that expert says.
Well, especially,
A, B, or C.
Especially
better.
When they find out after the fact, you know, hey, so-and-so was up for the role of whatever. You know,
how cool would it be?
Christopher Walken was up for the Han Solo role.
Right, that's right.
To see those people compete. Tom Cruise, Mel Gibson, they all read for it. I get to decide who's better in that role.
Yeah, like in Showgirls, when Elizabeth Berkley knocked Gina Gershon down the stairs so she could get the lead role in that.
And she got the
Tanya Harding knocked
she got the ice
Nancy
cubes
Carrey.
Out.
That was the best of both
going.
Worlds, Freddie. Yeah.
The ice cubes.
Todd Porter says, weren't the Monsters of the Midway
ice
back
cubes,
before
nipples,
Kiss was popular? I don't think the current Bears as Monsters of the Midway.
Oh, they still
use
it. No,
but that's the nickname.
And they
the
still
team.
Use it. You watch SportsCenter, the new Monsters of the Midway, whatever.
Jeff
says... Yeah, the Soldier Fields look different. It's still Soldier Field. They didn't change the name.
Why is Andy using song titles for his articles if he hates the world of music? Monster Mash.
This wasn't an article.
Yeah, and it wasn't a song title.
The Monster Mash?
Well, it is.
It is a song.
No, but what...
It was a graveyard smash.
We weren't using it in that context.
We could have done it was a Soldier Field smash if we really wanted to go all in the Halloween thing in you know, Christmas.
In Christmas with snow on the ground.
Right.
I love
Godfather.
Fred,
it's Christmas.
Like,
he just cuts ties with us. I knew that was bad, but I was going to let you learn your lesson. Like,
that's true.
Is that what Brady does? Well, I knew this was a terrible play, but I was just going to let Bill learn his lesson.
That's true.
That's the dumbest thing
he
I've ever heard.
Even believe
he knew it was a bad idea to kneel, so he threw a touchdown pass. Why don't you step up, lead us to victory, and throw a touchdown pass on a cover?
Let's see. Hey, guys, and Eric. Got an over and under for you. G-Force and Hernandez combo touchdowns, 2.
This week?
Yeah.
Over.
Over.
Under.
Ah, push. Actually, it's a push. 1-1.
Tom Brady QB rating, 120.
Under.
Under? Really? Okay.
That's pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Pretty high.
Now we're being critical because we said, God forbid, he'll be under 120 with his rating.
I figure sooner or later he's got to have an incomplete pass. No?
Good Lord.
Total rushing yards for the Patriots, 100.
Over.
Green Bay points, 17.
Under.
Under without Rodgers, over with
over
Rodgers.
With, oh, I agree with that.
I'm just assuming Flynn's playing. So I'm,
well,
all
I'm
these
just
are
covering
with
my bases.
Donald Driver, Greg Jennings catches, 12.
Under.
Over with Rodgers, under without
right.
So I'll take the under using my.
And bonus, the nod comes on the big screen in the second quarter. Before second, as Tom Brady is reaching for a scuff ball.
Over
sack.
With
you
know, Rodgers.
I think you know where I'm going with this.
Why did you trail off as you read that?
Tom Brady
reaching for a scuff ball in the sack. Now, is that a ball sack that it's in?
Yeah, you missed our scuff ball talk yesterday, Eric.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Legitimate, because Cutler doesn't. Cutler prefers a lacquered ball.
And they showed the
Brady
thing on
likes
CBS
a rough,
during the game.
Likes it rough.
Just
he likes
the
a
way,
rough ball in his hands.
Just the way the QB likes it.
Trubek.
Let's see. More breaking news from strippers.
From a month ago.
Sal Alossi has been now suspended indefinitely as he instructed players to form the wall. Okay, so now he didn't get that by himself, did he?
Is he
he didn't clear that with his special teams coach?
Well, is he an assistant special teams coach as well? Sometimes those cross over those jobs, I would also ask. Yeah, I think he's taking a fall. I think he's the Steve Scarnecchia of the New York Jets.
Well, I don't know.
Except he's
ironically, Steve Scarnecchia was once the Steve Scarnecchia of the New York Jets.
Right. And so the New England Patriots.
The question is, why did it go to this step further? Because the league said they weren't going to investigate this. It's all over. Did the Jets do their own investigation? And once Sal Alossi said, yeah, I did it, then they suspended him indefinitely?
Could be.
Yeah. I think they're
so
trying.
So then you'd have to say, well, maybe Westhoff is telling the truth, that he really didn't. Do that, and Sal Alossi is smarter than we're giving him credit for, because I think the idea of them
smarter?
Having them, yes, I think the idea
for
of having
a guy,
No.
Yes, no.
He wasn't accused there of telling the guy to trip him. They said he told them to line up. I would have done the same thing. That's a smart thing. If there's a guy on another team that is constantly using your sideline to make room for himself, limit the room. He didn't admit to telling him to trip him. He just said line up. That's a smart move, I think. I think that's smart.
I see what you're saying. I've already talked about that. I don't have any problem lining up.
So Salalosi's a smart guy. He didn't tell.
Except he tripped him, so he's a dumb guy.
He made a stupid move by tripping the guy.
He made a stupid move by tripping.
You can only be so smart when you did what he did.
But I think whoever, whether it's Salalosi or Mike Westhoff or Rex Ryan, whoever told them, line up and limit this guy from using our sideline as his own little, you know.
I don't think that was Salalosi.
Pass lane.
Probably not.
Whoever said that, that's a good idea. Right. That's to me, that's good.
Right, but you can't say that. So the guy who did it issued a statement saying, I didn't do it, and the other guy's the scapegoat.
So I don't think he should be suspended for saying that or having an increase in suspension for that.
Well, what does that mean? Wasn't he suspended for the rest of the year?
Yeah, right. But that was a definitive suspension. Now it's indefinite.
He's getting railroaded if he's suspended for next year, they've changed it
to indefinite.
That's
because
a joke.
They probably don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. We had a good show.
When you're ripping music, time flies.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. Lots going on. John Rook is up next, right? Where is he?
I love how he twists his neck.
No socks is looking at us through the glass.
He's being easily distracted.
In his mother's basement today.
John, you there? No, he's not there.
Listening to you, Fred.
Hey, what, do you think music is overrated?
Music overrated?
Yeah.
In what context?
Well, that's what my point. No one even knows what it means.
Three simple words: music is overrated.
Andy's statement is music is overrated, and nobody knows what the hell he's talking
about. Except for the 30-year veteran of the music industry.
He never said it.
He didn't say that. He agreed with Paul and Andy.
Yeah, 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 how boring would life be if we didn't have music?
Exactly.
Tremendous.
Exactly.
That doesn't make it overrated.
We don't have the time to go into it.
Yeah, you don't have the time.
Basically,
or the argument.
It's the wording that Andy used.
It's the artistry of music, I guess, or the snobbery of music that is overrated.
What's snobbery?
All these people that you can like one thing because it's tremendously written and this and that, but you can't like this other thing because it's pop music that's been commercialized.
Who's telling you
this? The bottom line
though?
should be a lot of people. Flick the station on. Do you like how it sounds? Do you not? Good music you like, bad music you don't.
Well, that's the way it is with everything
in life.
That's
the criteria that I use.
Well, you should. No, you don't. You're kind of half snobbery. No. You're not all in snobbery. Jody's snobbery upstairs.
I mean,
Michelle's
snobbery upstairs.
A lot of people call Michael Jackson a genius,
but that's pop music.
He's a musical genius.
We like to analyze movies. We like to analyze certain types of music, but that doesn't mean that you don't like something that doesn't you fall may into not. Your category. You may be able to enjoy Britney Spears or Pink or some,
God forbid, pop music.
Hmm. Not everybody that we work with can.
Well, that's because art has different tastes, and again, that's the beauty of it.
No, but it gets into snobbery.
All right, we gotta go.
People go into these arts with good intentions, and they get dirtied and sullied.
All right, that's gonna be it for this edition of PFW Progress. Join us tomorrow. Stay tuned for Patriots Playbook. Have a good show, John.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti. You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com Radio. Really, Fred? My hip.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.